and good evening, everyone, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are on this rotating globe. Welcome to another edition of The Other Side of Midnight, that magical time between dusk and dawn when everything interesting happens. Except that's not really true anymore, because it's happening 24/7, ranging from bizarre, out-of-the-box politics in Washington to some mysterious aerial phenomenon which is covering the globe, but for which the American media seems fixated on New Jersey for some reason. I was born in New Jersey. I love New Jersey. It's called the Garden State for a reason, but really, I mean, this is like reruns of Orson Welles in 1938. Remember Grover's Mills? I mean, If you look at the mainstream media, television, social media, whatever, the videos are all on mainstream media, very mediocre, just lights in the sky moving on linear trajectories, not doing much of anything. But if you go off-road, if you look at social media, and tonight what we've done is we've assembled about 7 or 8 or 9 video clips from around the country showing that what everybody is calling drones has become kind of generic. You know, to call a weird thing in the sky a drone, it's kind of a catch-all, but as my guests were just discussing off-air, it's really what the government wants us to all think, or whoever's running the government, because it's not quite sure now. Is it Musk? Is it President Musk? Has there been a coup? Has Donald Trump been demoted to, in other words, nothing is normal. Get used to it, folks. Nothing is normal. So let me try to start with something normal, okay? If you're new to the show, you go to the internet, of course. It's theothersideofmidnight.com. That's our homepage, theothersideofmidnight.com. Click on that. That will take you to our homepage, and at the top, you will see a banner, which is actually the Capitol, with deep field stars behind it, kind of apropos of what we're going to talk about tonight. What is Congress doing? What is the government doing, as opposed to what they're saying about these so-called drones? Because for some reason, up until very recently, even in the mainstream, even anchors that have been breathlessly covering hearings on the Hill on UFOs, UAPs, and all that, they have insisted, everybody's insisting on calling these things drones. Well, why, given the fact the government says, A, we don't know where they're coming from, B, but they're not ours, and C, and they're not a foreign threat, why doesn't everybody call them what that leaves, which logically is UFOs, unidentified flying objects, or if you want to be more 21st century, unidentified anomalous phenomena. But no, everybody is calling them drones because for most people, if you give something a name, a familiar name, it's like, okay, they've got that handle. I can go back to doing something that's more important. But a lot of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands probably, in the Northeast alone are calling into authority figures, police stations, the FAA, Homeland Security, the police. I said that. Okay. And they're trying to get answers and they're being stonewalled. So something normal. Tonight is the 21st of December. It is 4 days before Christmas. But actually, tonight is a very special night. It is the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, which means up here, we had our shortest day, and in the Southern Hemisphere, they have the shortest night because they have the longest day because of the tilt of the Earth's axis and the fact that on this day, it's pointed directly at the sun. The sun rising was lowest in the sky in the Northern Hemisphere, highest in the sky in the Southern Hemisphere, and over at Stonehenge, of course, where they make a big deal out of both winter and summer solstices, there were thousands of people who showed up, including our own Maria Wheatley, to do this annual ritual, this ancient monument thousands of years old, which, of course, academia now says, oh, we finally figured it out. It was a grand unification symbol. And, of course, our friend and colleague, Maria Wheatley, who's an archaeologist in Britain, and who also douses and who was also into ancient monument version of hyperdimensional physics, because that's what these sacred sites do. They amplify the background physics. And that's why they were built. But there's this sudden story, you know, scientists discover why Stonehenge was built. And what I'm going to do is I'm not going to give away the real answer. I'm going to save that for next week, because I'm going to try to get Maria to come on next Saturday night, which is 1 week from the solstice. And she will discuss all of the extraordinary, unusual things which have really been observed and plotted and documented at Stonehenge and these other henge monuments all over Britain, in fact, all over Europe. And they're not in the guidebooks. But she did tell me in an email this afternoon that while she was giving a lecture at Stonehenge in this winter solstice period, the English heritage folks, who are the official curators and chaperones and guardians of these ancient monuments now under British law, that they were kind of hanging out at the edge of her class, because they were picking up interesting and important tidbits from her background of extremely interesting knowledge of how Stonehenge worked, when it was built, who built it, etc. So apropos the season, because it kind of brackets Christmas, next Saturday we will do, if Maria is available, we will do a Stonehenge show, because there's a lot of new, really interesting information. So anyway, happy solstice today, tonight, wherever you are. That leads us into item number two. Because while all this is going on, by a squeaker, by a bizarre series of events you can find all over mainstream media and Google and news sites and all that, Congress avoided a literally last-second holiday shutdown. And item number two is a list of winners and losers. And, you know, it's kind of like the reason, one of the reasons that I titled tonight's show, you know, Send in the Clowns or Drones, is because Congress is acting very, very, very clownish, at least in public. And tonight, through my guest, which is our friend and colleague Stephen Bassett, we're going to try to find out what's going on behind the scenes, because if what's going on behind the scenes vis-a-vis UAP, UFOs, is as discoordinated and chaotic and unsettling and amateur as what we've seen play out in the so-called real world in Congress over the last several days, then God help us. Which leads us to item number three. After telling us for literally weeks, both at the federal level and at the local and state level, that these so-called drones, the sudden rash of people seeing all kinds of things that they're not familiar with and calling in every authority they can imagine, and the government saying at all levels, there's nothing to see here, move along, nothing interesting. Specific saying things like, and I'm now quoting the White House, well, we know it's not a national security risk. It's not a foreign power, but we don't know who's doing it. But there's no problem. You know, it is absolutely not a security risk. How can you reconcile those two statements? It's like government doesn't even care to sound semi-logical or authoritative anymore. A, they're telling us they haven't a clue as to what's going on, and B, they're telling us not to worry. How can you, as a reasonable, logical person, swallow both ideas at the same time? Now, it's true, two things can be true, but not when they're absolutely 180 degrees in contradiction. If you don't know what something is, how can you assure the American people that it doesn't pose a threat? And if you've eliminated, now we're over in the Sherlock Holmes territory, if you've eliminated all of the knowns, It's not U.S. military. It's not experimental. It's not local hobbyists. It's not cities. It's not commercial. Then how can you say that it doesn't pose a threat if you have zero knowledge of where these things are coming from and where they're going? And this is even with helicopters in the air trying to follow them back to wherever they originate from. So that brings us to item number three, because in the midst of saying nothing here, move along, the FAA suddenly a couple of days ago banned all commercial and private drones over New Jersey, over major sections of New Jersey, due to, and I quote, special security reasons. What? Now, wait a minute. You're telling us there's nothing to worry about, and yet you've closed the airspace, which has untold financial consequences for, like, Amazon, to say nothing of other commercial drone operators who are literally delivering packages, you know, from warehouses to people's lawns. How can you ban all that with the commercial hit, with the financial hit, with the trust hit? Because what you're telling people is, again, two contradictory things. Nothing to worry about, but don't you dare fly a drone or we're going to shoot it down. So, and out of Homeland Security in New York the other day, we were told by a very authoritative young lady, I presume she worked for Homeland Security, well, we've been tracking drones for years now, and from our numbers, there's no increase in the number of drones, but there's an enormous increase in the number of sightings being called in. In other words, she said very thinly veiled, it's public hysteria. They're not seeing anything unusual. It's all just hysteria. But we now have the FAA in the light of public hysteria physically closing most of New Jersey skies to drones that they know. So by keeping those on the ground, they can, by process of elimination, see things in the air that are not to be there, but are there, therefore they're the quote unknowns. And I presume they'll try to follow them home or shoot them down or, in other words, I can't imagine that if this were anything that was recognizable, that we would have allowed this to go this far. I mean, I remember living in the era of duck and cover, where just radar imaging of something coming over the North Pole caused all of us in school to duck under our desk, because those were the bombers carrying nuclear weapons that would incinerate our towns in an hour or two, that kind of thing. Here you have incursions going on, not just in the Northeast, but all over the country. In fact, all over the world, this kind of heightened, again, called drone activity is going on. And governments are pretending that there's nothing there, except now the FAA has done something very physical and very legal and very dramatic, and that is close the airspace over a major portion of New Jersey. Which leads us to item number four. While all this is going on, drones, so-called, are continuing to buzz U.S. air bases, military facilities, nuclear power plants, and the military is admitting it doesn't know really why or, and this is amazing, how to stop them. Does that mean that they've tried and bullets, like on Superman, are just bouncing off? Are missiles useless? Are, you know, rifles and helicopters with cops hanging out the doors trying to shoot them down? Did that not work? In other words, we're left with absolutely amazing and profound mysteries, which, of course, brings me back to my item at the very bottom of my list. Well, try one. Item number five. That is a series of videos shot all around the country. I think there's five or six in the lineup. There may be more. And they're interspaced with captions. This once through and then look at it again, because these are the drones or the objects or the UFOs or UAP that the mainstream media television is not showing you. Why not? If it's all dismissible, if it's all just misidentification, why do we have stunning imagery like in the rotating videos on item number 5? And you might want to look at that several times, because each time I look, I see more. Which brings me to my guest tonight. Tonight, I'm very lucky to have Steve Bassett with us. Stephen, of course, is head of Paradigm Research, which is a UFO, UAP activist entity. Just got its 501c3, so he's unfurling the umbrellas upside down. If you want to pitch money at the only UFO lobbyist literally on Capitol Hill, this is the guy, Stephen Bassett, who has been in touch with congressmen and women behind the scenes and is hopefully going to give us a more accurate picture than the clown show that we've been seeing in public of how congressmen and women are reacting to something really mysterious, really interesting, and perhaps literally paradigm-changing guys over America tonight. Stephen, welcome back to The Other Side of Midnight.
Yes, indeed, Richard. Good to be with you again, as always.
So where do we want to begin? Is the government in private, in the back rooms, as crazy as it appears to be in public? Certainly on this issue?
I don't get to hang out in the back rooms. I don't think that'll surprise anybody. And I'm not the only lobbyist. There's at least a half a dozen now, maybe more, that are registered on this issue. That's good. That's great. Happy to have it. What I'd like to do is take a Donald Rumsfeld approach to this.
Okay.
And let's just start off with the known known to establish sort of...
What you might want to do for people that are too young to remember Donald Rumsfeld, talk about his famous comment, from which you're now going to quote.
All they have to do is Google Donald Rumsfeld known knowns, and they'll get the whole thing. But there's your known knowns, there's your known unknowns, and there's your unknown unknowns. And it was very cogent statement. It was very cool, but it was in a context that people didn't like. But that's ancient history. Let's start off with the platform here of known knowns. First of all, what is happening is what has happened many times in the past, and usually referred to as a UFO flap. The only way that flap is used in such a context, really unusual. There have been many over the last 77 years. It usually means a significant number of sightings happening and being reported, enough to get more attention from the media. Everybody gets a little bit excited, and then it abides and it goes on. They don't have a lot of consequence, but the one thing they do is to excite the people on the ground who have been sacrificing a lot of their time and their own money trying to research this issue, trying to bring it to the attention of the people and the government, and it keeps them going, right? And so in that sense, that's the one thing that comes from that UFO flap. It also reminds the government, should it be needed, that they're still here. So what's going on now is the biggest UFO flap in history. Nothing comes close. Probably one of the best known flaps, which was it wasn't big and it wasn't long, but it qualifies, was in July of 1952, almost exactly 5 years after the press release in Moscow, Mexico in 47, when a number of craft flew over Washington, D.C. itself, and I mean the capital virtually, over a period of 8 days, multiple times, created quite a stir, generated a response from the government, et cetera, et cetera. And it scared the hell out of them because they realized that these guys up there are capable of doing that. So they quickly called together a CIA panel, came up with a report that basically said they don't make a threat, but the government, the interest of the public is a threat, so let's go ahead and embargo the whole damn thing. Now, that was then, and all the flaps since then have been pretty much standard, but not this one. And the reason this is that this is the biggest one in history at a time when there are hundreds of millions of high-quality cameras in the hands of the people underneath these flaps, which includes the United States, the UK, and elsewhere, filming the hell out of it. And then there's also this thing called the internet, where all of these videos, should they decide, can be posted, shared, and they're just rocketing around the world. So this is a flap to the 10th power. So that's what's going on. That's your base. Now, what do we know about this? Okay. Well, we know what we see, and there are an extraordinary range of phenomena that are coming up in terms of groupings, in terms of light, in terms of color of lights, in terms of actual strobing lights, even things that have propellers and so forth. It's just a complete menagerie of, but not saucers.
There's no
saucers. Or any classic UFOs. No. So we know that. Okay. We know that the United States government has been unable to explain it and has made very straightforward statements that have been repeated. And so this is known. One, it's not ours. They said that several times. They said it's not another nation, which includes our adversaries. Okay, which is pretty interesting. And therefore, they don't know what it is. So we know that. That is a fact. It is also a fact they are not shooting at them.
How do we know that? Because I've seen video of private citizens shooting at these in the most insane, bizarre fashion.
Look, I'm not saying that a private individual is not shooting at them with their Glock. I'm simply saying the U.S. government is not shooting at them, which they could do with some pretty high-powered weapons. But that's not happening. They're not capturing. There's no indication of that. So we know that. We know it's happening in multiple locations. We know that most of the locations involve military and other sensitive facilities, which doesn't mean they're not over neighborhoods, because a lot of these facilities have neighborhoods around them, okay, which is one reason you don't shoot them down, because it's going to land in somebody's barbecue. So we know that. We also know it's now been going on for nearly 2 years. Exactly when it begins, not clear, but I want to refer back to 2022. On May 17th of 2022, we had the first hearing on the subject since 1968, right? 54 years. Scott Gray and Ronald Moultrie, who were technically running the UAP task force, came forward to speak to some members of a Senate Intel, I think, subcommittee. And they were asked some questions and so forth. It wasn't impressive. There wasn't much they could say. Everybody was disappointed. I did not expect anything much from it. They did the best they could, but they were in an impossible situation. They basically just came in, said some stuff, and left. But during that hearing, a video was shown. And the video that was shown had been brought forward by a researcher not too long before this hearing took place. I do not know the date of the filming itself, but I think it was not that – I don't think it was old. I think it was relatively recent. It was almost certainly taken by a crew member of one of our ships, because the crew guys are allowed to have phones, and they have cameras, and so they can film stuff. And
so this was from a ship at sea.
This is a ship at sea, a U.S. military ship at sea. I believe it was a destroyer.
Okay.
And it shows a bunch of things flying around the ship.
Where was the ship?
Which were called drones. I don't know. It was at night, and it was at sea. And so this thing had gotten on the internet, gotten a lot of exposure, all right, which that kind of stuff happens all the time. But the fact that it was brought into that hearing was notable. Why, I do not know, but clearly somebody with some influence felt that was a legitimate video, and they wanted to get Bray and Moultrie's view on it.
Was this the film
that
was shot?
It was great response.
Was this the film that was shot with night vision? Because the image was green.
Actually, it might have been. I don't recall that. I think it was regular vision. I think it was regular cameras.
Okay.
But I'm not positive. If it could be FLIR or not be green.
Because
so
I remember in Navy footage that showed an equilateral triangle flying over a ship somewhere. that was done with night vision.
That is the one. That is the one.
That was shot from a Navy ship with night vision, which is why it's green.
Well, I don't. Okay. All right. I seem to recall it wasn't green, but whatever. So Gray tried to explain it. He said something about how the angle of whatever made something look like a triangle, and it was kind of laughable. The people on the net understood. You know what he's talking about. The fact is, there were a number of things flying around the ship. All right, and so that was May 17th of 2022. Now, what's notable about that, as opposed to some of the flaps that are occurring over military bases?
Wait, did you say May 17th, 2022?
Date of the hearing where they showed the film, the Moultrie and Bray.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. When the film was shot, don't know, but I don't think it was long, long ago. I think it was relatively recent. So I'm going to kind of say that the beginning of this flap is, and by the way, at the end, I think that it was reported that this had happened to more than one ship. We just haven't had the film for this one. It begins there. Now, what's important about this? As opposed to military bases, though the same really would apply, but there's a problem, is that there is no way in hell that a Navy ship of war is going to allow unknown drones flying around it when they fully know that drones can be fully militarized and capable of sinking that ship.
Right. Well, we actually shot down by accident in years before, the U.S. Navy, an Aegis cruiser, shot down a civilian airliner because somebody made a drastic mistake and thought it was an Iranian, fighter with missiles entering a, no-fly zone around them, and they shot down a civilian airliner totally by mistake. So, yes, we have a proactive defensive perimeter around all our assets, which makes what's going on now bizarre.
Again, I'm referring to the ship, and that plane was way up in the sky. These things are flying near the ship.
Right.
Okay. And so the fact that they made no effort to shoot them down was extraordinary. And of course, that did not come up at the hearing. All right. So I just want to make that point. So let's say that's the beginning of the flap. So let's start early 2022. So now we're essentially almost 3 years in. Now, things went quiet for a while, but about 12 or 13 months ago, suddenly it just explodes. And you've got these things turning up over multiple facilities, almost always military bases in California, and then eventually moving to the East Coast, also reported in the UK. If they were happening in China and Russia, it could very well be the case, but they're not going to say anything. So we don't know, but it wouldn't shock me if it wasn't happening there. Okay, so this is what we know. We know that on the instances that are occurring over land in the United States, they are not shooting them down. They are not capturing them.
Okay, we are at the bottom of the hour. Stephen, we're at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Hold on. My guest this morning is Stephen Bassett. He's our man on the hill, as it were, one of many, it turns out. Well, I'm glad the cadre has grown, because you need more than one activist on this matter. We're talking drones tonight. And as I've said in weeks previous, I think we're on some kind of a countdown. Why do I think that? Because of Trump's watches, which are countdown watches, which we'll explain more tomorrow night. But tonight we have Stephen Bassett with us, and we're going to try to probe what official reaction is in Washington to something for which the feds publicly are acting totally bizarre. You're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. We shall return.
TheOtherSideOfMidnight.com Tune in to listen to Richard C. Hoagland and his fascinating guests. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive member benefits. Listen to past episodes anytime on any device. Search the archives of over 180 episodes. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Support the broadcast that provides you with the most interesting conversation available. Talk radio at the cutting edge of science and thought. The Other Side of Midnight.com.
Well, you heard Stephen, expert, been at this almost as long as I've been at what I've been doing. He says this is the largest UFO flap in the history, in the modern history of planet Earth. And the government is not saying UAP, although they have an office in the Pentagon now called Arrow. They've had hearings. They've shown videos. They've had sworn testimony. And yet they're not calling it what their own hearings have been calling it. And it's all over the country. In fact, it's all over the world. And everybody who should know something is saying they know nothing. So, Stephen, do they?
I'm almost finished with the known knowns. Just a few more things. We know what the government is saying.
We have plenty of time. Don't worry.
We also know. Okay. We also know that they've had to divert a couple of flights around the phenomena. We know.
Well, they've closed airports. They've closed New York. They've closed naval bases. They've closed Ramstein in Germany for a while. Laken Heath in Britain got closed. So the idea that, oh, we don't know what's going on, but it's no threat, is just, it's nuts. It's insanity.
So, and they also, as you pointed out, this is notable, they restricted the use of drones, which is ironic, by essentially the public recently over parts of New Jersey. So this, the other thing we know is the video media, the standard kind of video media mainstream, are giving it light coverage, nothing profound, some. The print media, though, highly covering it. I've already logged in 100 articles on my print media archive and out of hundreds of others that are kind of fringe. But overall, the print media are having a ball. And the Internet, it's all drones all the time. Massive amount of sharing and filming and so forth that is going to be archived and stay up there for the next 1,000 years. So this is what we know. So now let's go and see if we can explore some of the unknowns. Well, there's one other thing I think that we know is if you review the video footage, there are clearly some things up there that are almost certainly human drones. And I don't mean the hobbyist. I mean some serious stuff. We do know that drone technology has advanced tremendously in the last 15 years. And the best stuff is not, you know, being put out there on display. They've got that tight because almost all of this drone development is for military purposes. In other words, what we're seeing in the Ukraine could pale in comparison to assuming we keep having more wars, the drone wars of the future. And so, but some of these are clearly that the lights, the flickering lights, everything are clearly regular drones. So we know that. Okay. So what is the, how do you take this? I've spent 4 solid weeks racking my brain over this. I've heard all the explanations. Okay, and here's something else we know. This emerged not from the government, from the Internet is a pretty big enterprise with millions upon millions of people. And not surprising, they put all their minds together to try to explain this. God bless them. And the fact is that the entire Internet could only come up with one explanation that did not involve UAP. And I will give him credit. I'll give you net credit because it is not out of the question. It has some significant quality to it and plausibility. And what they came up with in order to try to explain this is that all of these drones are searching for radiation traces, trying to locate a smuggled-in weapon of mass destruction that got its way into the United States. And I'm going, you know, that could maybe explain it. And my second reaction is, well, if the drones are scaring people, this is going to absolutely scare them. They're going to have a hemorrhage, right? I mean, this is really scary. And then I thought about it some more. It does not comport to the evidence, so it's ridiculous. But that's what the Internet came up with. So this is what we know. So now, after 4 weeks, this is what I am putting out there as the best explanation. And I'm inviting people to analyze it, think about it, check it out with everything they know. And if they know anything that seems to support it that's not out there, get it out. And this is what I think is going on. We are in the middle of the biggest UFO flap in history. It is there for a reason. It isn't like they just decided, oh, it's time to throw a big party. This is directly connected to what's going on the ground, all right? And the U.S. government can't stop it. There's nothing they could do about it. They couldn't stop the other flaps. When they flew over Washington, D.C., they didn't do anything. You know, about 3 years ago, some guy in Washington lived over near DuPont Circle, had a couple of drones, right? And they were out flying them off their balcony. And one of them, they lost control, and it flew over the White House.
Uh-oh.
They were arrested. They had a lot of explaining to do, and ultimately they did not.
So they were able to track with radar where the drone came from.
Well, I think they got it, and I think they had to get the numbers off of it and found who bought it.
Okay.
But I'm simply saying, just a simple hobby drone going over the White House, you could go to jail. So what the government can't do anything about it. In 1952, when these things were flying, they did nothing. All right, so what are they going to do? Their situation is impossible. They can't shoot them down, and they can't say what they are. And yet they can't do anything about it. What do you do? All right. I think they came up with a solution, at least a temporary solution, and just try to hold off the inevitable. Here's what you do. In any area where this is occurring, right, you send up plenty of your own drones. You get them up there, essentially mixing them in with the UAP flaps, the non-human tech, knowing that people are going to see that. Now, they may see something, and we've got film of something that is unbelievable stuff, right, that in no way could be a U.S.-made drone.
Well, all you have to do is look Stephen, all you have to do is look at the videos I've assembled in item number 5.
Exactly.
And at the end, there is a sequence showing what looks like a Navy drone downed on a highway with a whole bunch of emergency vehicles at night, police cruisers, twinkling lights and all that. It looks like somebody downed one of our own Navy drones. And there's other video that I haven't posted, which shows if our own drones approach these objects too closely, they lose power and they fall out of the sky, which is exactly Well, this phenomenon has been going on for decades, going all the way back to the 50s in Texas, where people reported their car engines would stop when UFOs would appear. And there is a fundamental part the physics of these propulsion of the way they create the anti-gravity that literally kills electromagnetism. And when the anti-gravity source moves away, the engines would restart. Well, this is exactly what's going on with drones, because they all require electrical equipment, mostly batteries, to function, and they are just they just die and they fall out of the sky. So unless you were to attack them with some kind of a kinetic energy missile or rocket or something, you can't even get close to them, apparently.
There have been reports of hobbyists sending up their own little drones. They die out. I don't know about, quote, the fact that a drone, one of our drones, might have ended up losing power, ending up on the ground, wouldn't shock me. All of that supports the point that I'm making, that that you send up our own drones, people are definitely going to see them. They're clearly drones. And therefore, everything that is showing, everything that is turning up in this film are drones. They've droned the whole thing out. They just bought time. All right. For most, for the most, a large portion of the population, who many of which aren't even going to see a video, all they're knowing is there's some drone things going on, and that's it. And so it's bought them some time. But obviously, it's not the explanation, all right? But it is something. And that is what's creating the confusion. And, of course, the idea of drones being pushed is the more they people hear drone, that takes away from that thing that is certainly not a drone, or those 43 things with the bright lights going off and whatever. It's a complex form of propaganda, but it is absolute desperation. And so if the ETs, which is what I prefer to call them, this NIH thing gets under my skin, but I say it, if the ETs continue to fly over our military bases, eventually the public is simply going to revolt. In other words, they're going to demand an explanation and could very well force the president, whoever it is, to not even get a hearing. Funny way for a hearing. Just get out there in the friggin' East room and say, look, we got ETs here. We've had ETs here. They are really flying right now. We've been working to try to get on top of this and get set up for you to get the information, blah, blah, whatever, and then we'll have the hearing. So what I like to refer to is this, for two reasons. One, we have made extraordinary advancements in the last 7 years to get to a point where we could have disclosure. We broke through one precedent after another. Eight hearings, four tranches of legislation, massive amounts of media coverage, a number of people, including members of Congress, going in front of a camera saying there's ETs here, and yet still don't have disclosure. Gotten pushback from the DOD, some of the defense contractors, and managed to stall it as we move forward. Okay, so they're stalling it, but yet we're really close, and so they're stalling it, which is irritating. But it's more than just irritating, because while this game is going on and they prevent closure on this issue, all hell is breaking loose overseas. And we are dancing on the edge of a possible breakout of a nuclear event in Ukraine. We've got a disaster in the Middle East and the potential for a problem in Taiwan. It's just a mess. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that things are almost out of control. And the potential for a nuclear event is great. We've got Putin saying he's going to do it. We've got people around him saying the plans are already laid in place. And this is turning up in regular news regularly, going on for almost a solid year. And so the idea that he might use a tactical nuke is almost been normalized. And so that would be bad. And so we're close to nuclear war, but we're also close to disclosure. And I think they've decided, the ETs, God bless them, to do an intervention. This is basically an intervention. Everybody get together, and we're going to talk this over, and we're going to see how you can get out of the situation you're in and find, you know, have a proper life. And when I say intervention, as we know, it usually involves family getting together to deal with a family member who has an addiction. And so what's the addiction here? It's the human society's addiction to war. And that's what's going on. That's the only thing that accounts for everything that's happening. The government statements or lack of statements, the phenomenon itself, what's being seen, the mixture of drones and the other stuff. And then in terms of shutting down the drone space, yeah, guess what? A whole lot of people out there have got amateur drones. They've got hobbyist drones. They're launching them too. And then they got those things up there. And so they've got civilian drones. They've got their drones. They've got the ETs. It's chaos. And so they had to kind of cool things and say, look, don't be sending up drones, guys, because it's just, and they, you know, and the other thing is they can't set up helicopters, and they can't chase them with jets, because the helicopters will start crashing into each other. I mean, the ETs have got them bent over a bench. All right, that's a little crude. The ETs have got the government backed into a corner. There's almost nothing they can do except continue to make stupid statements until finally there's no patience for it anymore. So we might.
Well, wait. When you say there's no patience, what are the levers that the ordinary civilian population can exert on government if government simply won't tell them the truth? Period.
I'm not talking about the patience of the people. I'm talking about the patience of the media. The media is going to start eating them alive. They're already starting to ask tough questions.
Well, up until this week, I've been noting in mainstream media, because I watch it so you don't have to, this was the top or the second to top story on all the networks, on the 24/7 cable channels, on Fox, on MSNBC, yeah, on PBS, on CNN, and then the whole end of the year debacle over closing down the government completely has wiped out all reference to drones, and we're stuck in political land again. And, you know, is the Speaker of the House going to survive? And we've got the inauguration coming up. And so I watched it go from number one to number zero literally overnight, because this was an incredible, this political debacle, and last minute save was an elegant diversion from mounting media coverage of drones. So my question.
I watch the media too, and there has been discussion of drones, but it tapered off. But the print media has not relented. But I'm talking about...
Yeah, but print media is not television. Remember Roddenberry's rule. If it's real, it'll be on television. Well, today, don't read. The only people who read the New York Times are already in the in crowd, practically.
This I know. I'm simply saying that there has been some television coverage, but it has faded off. It can come back at any time and will.
Only
media,
if the phenomenon... Stephen, only if the phenomenon changes. At some point, sitting on a hot stove becomes okay because you get used to it.
I will disrespectfully disagree, okay? Their presence, continuing presence, and the fact that they're over our facilities, and the fact that the government's going to continue to put their own drones and the videos are going to keep turning up on the internet. No, this isn't going anywhere.
Okay, so let me ask you a political question about Jersey. Since the government has been saying there's nothing to see here, move along. They're just commercial. It's misidentification.
The government is not saying that. That is not what the government is saying. The government is saying
this woman out of New York, Homeland Security, said flatly, there's nothing to see here because they're all just normal drones, period.
Well, she's an idiot, and she's only one person. The government that matters, Kirby, the DOD, the White House, they're saying we don't know what it is, so there is something to see here, right? And that's all they can say. And then they got even more pressure, because the moment they said they didn't know what it is, naturally the media wanted to know, well, could it be our adversary? Could it be Chinese? The Chinese thing got all over the internet for a while, until finally the government had to come back and say, no, it's not Russia.
Or Iran.
You see the position.
Do you remember the New Jersey congressman who said it's an Iranian mothership offshore?
Yeah, well, that again, it just continues to stoke this fire. In other words, the ETs have created an impossible situation for the government. They're going to end up having to deal with absurd questions and other approaches. They're going to have to do with some fakes and stuff. It's just absolute chaos. And they can't do it. They've never had to deal with anything at this level. And so they're handling it as best they can. But, of course, when they make a statement like they're not ours and they're not adversaries, then basically they're saying then they're extraterrestrial, but they can't say that. But the internet knows that. And so the internet, which ultimately is becoming the arbiter of whatever the hell gets done or doesn't get done, is just going to beat them to death. But eventually the top reporters from the Times and so forth are going to start asking really tough questions. And it's going to be excruciating. And the only way to end it is to simply finally say, yeah, there's a bunch of our drones up there. And the reason they're up there is because these UAP craft, which are non-human technology, whether manned or unmanned, are literally putting on a hell of a show over multiple facilities. And we really hope they would stop doing that. That is my explanation. It accounts for everything that has been said by the government. It accounts for everything that's being seen on the videos. And it seems timely with respect to what's going on the ground. We're kind of at an absolute major inflection point in American governance. At the same time, we're at a major inflection point with respect to the risk of nuclear war. There is huge instability going across all of Europe and here. We're seeing the rise of right-wing governments, which, if you're right-wing, it's great. but it is certainly concerning. And now we're getting this massive display, unprecedented in our time. And so I'm going to put the two together, but I can't prove that. So there you go. That's my pitch. That's my deal. I am happy to answer any questions or accept counter arguments from all directions.
Okay. Any scientific model worthy of the name, political science or physics or whatever, has to have predictions mm-hmm. as part of the model. Otherwise, you don't mm-hmm. know where you're going. So what is your prediction mm-hmm. for what should happen next in your model and when?
Okay. My prediction also includes the situation on the Hill, and let's elaborate on that. It's really favorable. If it wasn't corresponding with, again, this transition of the government and extraordinary developments in our politics, which even got a lot of people scratching their heads, it would be a major deal. But as it is, it's pretty big. So where we are now is this. We've had 8 hearings, and we just had 2. One on the 13th of November, one on the 19th of November. I attended both. The one on the 13th was powerful. We had 4 strong witnesses across a broad spectrum of information, including statements to the effect that these are NHI. While it's not, it didn't
NHI,
have the
NHI, folks, is non-human.
Effect.
Just call them aliens.
Human intelligence. I know, I never use aliens. Extraterrestrial, but it's a lot of syllables. But, you know, I can use NHI.
E.T.
This was a very important hearing because it's the kind of hearing that gets the attention of politicians, academics, producers of television and
yeah,
and
can I interrupt because I have a major political question for you. I've watched obviously every scrap. I've hunted the internet. People, of course, are sending me stuff from all over the world. I have not seen Nancy Mace, Tim Burchett, or Gillibrand, except for one brief moment. I saw Gillibrand. None of these subcommittee chairpersons who've held these high-profile hearings, not one of them has connected their hearings with this phenomenon. Not one. Why?
I'm going to have to – well, let me help you, Dick. That's not true. Here is a quick summary. We had a very sexy hearing with David Grush in 2023.
Yeah, that was the Burchett hearing.
And then the next hearing, the Burchett of the House Oversight Subcommittee, he ran it. He's not the chairman of the subcommittee, but he was the chairman of that hearing.
Right.
Okay. And then a lot happened. And then the next hearing is on November 13th, about 16 months later. Same committee, only this time it was Nancy Mace that ran that, put it together. She wanted even stronger witnesses, but there were some problems. Nevertheless, she did get a pretty good hearing. And after that hearing, and I won't go into the details, but after that hearing, it turned out that I ended up in her office along with podcaster Tyler Roberts, who had arranged the initial meeting and then brought me and Bob Salas into it. And so it set up for 7:30. I didn't know that. They had changed the time for whatever reason. So I arrived at 7. And the only people there were Congresswoman Mace and her comms director. Had a chat with the comms director, and then she came in. I spoke with her for 20 minutes. Very candid, very straightforward talk. She's very sharp, very, very shrewd woman. Believe me, she's no fool, but also extremely conservative. We had a good conversation. And then Bob Salas showed up with Tyler Roberts. And we sat down for a 25-minute interview in which we discussed the issue, and most importantly, we discussed the nuclear shutdown events and the fact that Bob Salas was a firsthand witness to those events, and that there were other witnesses that wanted to testify and had been wanting to testify for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, I pointed out to her that in the 2 weeks prior to that hearing on the 13th of November, I had gone up on the Hill and distributed a hard copy set of the witness statements and affidavits of the nuclear shutdown witnesses to all of the key members on the House subcommittee, including her office. I hand-delivered them. Then I waited 4 days, and I mailed a set into a specific staffer so that that would come in about 5 days later. And so in the span of 10 days, 2 hard copies of the affidavit statement, witness statement, all of those offices. Then I emailed an electronic version of those affidavits along with videos of the 3 hours of testimony that those witnesses gave to the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure in 2013. And, of course, I told her about that. I then resent them again to one of her key staffers. And shortly after, in the interview that is out on the Internet, she states that she wants another hearing and she wants the nuclear witnesses. Now, since then, Burleson got in touch with who was also on that committee. He got in touch with Tyler Roberts, and he indicated he wanted the nuclear witnesses. And so Tyler got his email, sent it to me, and I sent in to Congressman Burleson the electronic copy of the witness statements, along with the 2 hours of their testimony before the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure, as well as links to the books, UFOs and Nukes, and so forth, into Burleson. Now, understand, they were, at this point, they're literally going on. They're going out of session and into vacation. And so now things are essentially normalized for now. However, after
ETs
the hearing,
have to wait for Christmas
hearing,
and New Year's. It's nuts,
it
Stephen.
So after, again, it's light. It's the world. That meeting, 2 days after that, I went up on the Hill and I distributed a hard copy of the affidavits of the witnesses to the nuclear shutdowns to all 17 members' offices of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And then on the 19th, Gillibrand held another hearing. Now, that was in the Senate. The House hearing was well advertised. It was packed. There were hundreds of people. We barely got in. I got there at 5 in the morning, and I was 17th in line, me and Bob Salas. We got in. We were 17th in line. By the time they started going into the room, we ended up like 70th in line because that many people had cut in front. But that's the way it is. Now, for the Senate hearing, that had not been announced or confirmed until a few days before. And so I cruised on over to the Senate hearing room, and there's 20 of us. So I went in there, sat down, and watched the hearing. What was that hearing? In this hearing, Gillibrand interviewed, along with Senator, I'll get it in a second, Joni Ernst Kozlowski, the new director of ARRO.
The head of ARRO.
So what the hell was going on? That's right. They replaced
the cryptographer from the National Security Council.
Yeah, he's got that and other backgrounds. He's a very sharp guy. So what was going on there? Well, what she was doing was introducing Kozlowski to the world because this hearing was being broadcast live. The hearing on the 13th was broadcast live by 7 or 8 venues. I mean, it went all over the world, and it's still out there on the Internet. So same thing for the hearing on the 19th at the Senate. And so I'm watching this hearing, and it's pretty basic. Yeah. He's not saying anything profound.
Stephen, we're at the top of the hour.
We're
at the top of the hour.
All right.
My guest this morning is Stephen Bassett, and I'm going to ask him about something that happened last weekend, which was why he couldn't be on the show. And I don't know whether he's going to answer as to what happened or he's going to say he simply can't talk about it. You'll find out in a couple of minutes. You're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. We shall return.
The Other Side of Midnight.com. Tune in to listen to Richard C. Hoagland and his fascinating guests. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive member benefits. As a Club 19.5 member, you'll gain access to the rest of this show and all previous 350 episodes. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Support the broadcast that provides you with the most interesting conversation available. Talk radio at the cutting edge of science and thought. The Other Side of Midnight.com.
And welcome back, everyone, on this Saturday night on the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. Big doings at Stonehenge this morning at dawn. My guest this morning is Stephen Bassett, and we're going through the political backstory of what's going on in the federal government at the congressional level regarding, as Stephen said a few minutes ago, the longest, largest flap of UFOs in known modern planetary history. So my question is, you know, these are various chairmen who've been very vocal at and before and following their hearings. But again, Stephen, I've seen no interviews with Nancy May saying, this is a national security problem, the government isn't telling us the truth, we've held hearings, we're being stonewalled, we need answers. I've seen nothing like that from her.
I have, and all I can say is, I mean, I can...
Yeah, but if it's in a dark room with you alone, it's got to be on television. People have to see it.
No, I'm saying that there are statements like that out there. Okay?
I have watched every scrap of this all over every damn network. I've seen nothing from her, from Burchett, from Gillibrand, from Rubio, who, of course, is getting ready to become Secretary of State. Nobody's connected from those committees this phenomenon with their pet thing, UAP. Nobody.
They're telling you I have seen it. The fact that you haven't is fine, but there's no way we can resolve that.
Okay, well, after the show, just send me a clip. That's all I want. Just send me a clip.
I know,
because
after this show, I'm going to go to bed. It's going
well,
to be 3 a.m. in the morning.
I don't mean in the middle of the night. You know, tomorrow or the next day is fine. The problem is that if they were out there, they would have been covered because this was a cause célèbre up until the crash at the end of the year government problem. And nobody appeared.
I got an interview. I just put in the archive just last night. An article in some paper, Nancy Mace, blah, 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 blah. That's why I created the print media archive. It's the only one of its kind in the friggin' world. Now it's a 16,000 articles. I read all the press. Yeah, trust me. Now look, is it getting as much as we want? No. But is it getting more than we've ever seen in our lifetime? Yeah. The situation now in the House subcommittee, which is where the action is, and by the way, it is that subcommittee created the first UAP caucus in the history of the Congress, which technically could keep growing. Again, now there's other things going on, but we could even see a UAP caucus in the Senate pretty soon. So we're winning. We're heading to the finish line, but there are some obstacles in the way and things happening. And the dangers overseas are growing, and suddenly we got this UAP flap. I'm just trying to put this larger context, best I can do, right, for people to kind of get the idea. But what's happening on the House committee is fascinating. When Burchett got into this issue, went on Fox News, went on News Nation, and flat out said, there's extraterrestrials here, flat out said that the government's lying about it, he got nothing but great press. He got no political backlash. He got nothing but great press. And so he chairs that hearing with Grush. It was a huge thing, okay? So what happens is the next hearing is chaired by Mace. I get it. She wanted her turn. And she had a pretty good hearing. I think Burleson wants the next hearing. They're literally competing on that committee to get their own hearing. In other words, okay, you chaired that one. I'm going to have one. I'm going to chair one. So when you've got members of Congress competing to see who's going to chair the next UAP hearing, we are in another place than we were in 69, 79, 89, and 99. We are practically home free. We're almost there. The real unknown factor is the Senate Intel Committee. Now, that is a different animal. By the strangest of coincidences, I actually sat down in an outdoor restaurant and only learned after 2 hours that I was sitting directly 2 feet from Senator Warner. Turned around and said hello, introduced myself and gave him my card. Okay.
Okay.
But he knows who I exist. He will soon not be the chairman of that committee. In a few days, all of the committees in Congress are going to be chaired by Republicans. Now, one of the advantages of that, it kind of simplifies things, because whatever happens going forward after June 3 is basically all Republican, meaning Republicans are going to be able to take
credit
for it.
You mean January 3?
January 3, yeah. They're going to be able to take care of it all. And that simplifies some of the decisions that are made. And so it's more likely the Intel Committee is going to get involved. Whereas before you had a Republican House and a Democratic Senate. So because at some point the Intel Committee and the Senate's got to get involved. Now they haven't picked their chairman yet, but I think it'll be probably pretty okay. They'll pick somebody strong. And of course,
who's the ranking member? It usually goes to the ranking member, doesn't it?
It's Rubio, right?
Well, he's leaving.
He'll be out on the 3rd.
Yeah.
I know. He's the ranking member. He's leaving, but then they're also taking over. So we're going to have a new ranking member and a new chairman. The ranking member will be a Democrat. It'll probably be Rounds, but it could be any number of them.
Mike Rounds. Level
people.
Right.
But they're all pretty heavy-duty people. This is a very significant committee. And so they could easily get involved. But there's going to definitely not be another hearing before the new Congress on the 3rd of January. Now,
nope.
Could there be a hearing in the 17 days between the new Congress and the inauguration? It's hard for me to imagine that. I just cannot imagine it. But once the new president is in office, they control everything. And so anything that happens with this issue going forward basically has got the Republican stamp on it. And so it's Katie bar the door. I mean, it's like, get going, because they've already figured out that going into this issue gets nothing but great press and positive responses. There's virtually no blowback at all. So I am saying, and then we have the fact that Trump has been asked as many questions on this as anybody. The only person that's been asked as many questions on this who was either a president or a candidate is Hillary Clinton. That was a while ago. He's been asked repeatedly. He gets light answers, nothing deep, dismiss it out of hand. He's unpredictable. However, I was told that it was arranged. Maybe you said that. I think you said that. It was arranged that it would come up in his interview with Rogan. So if it was arranged that it would come up, that's even more powerful. Because that means Rogan is really interested in pursuing this.
Well, no, it was even weirder because Rogan was on a JFK thing. And then Trump changed the subject and talked about UFOs and life on Mars and why NASA couldn't find it because it may be in a form that was unrecognizable to NASA. And he did that all on his own. He volunteered that shift. Rogan looked incredibly uncomfortable. Now, remember, Rogan and Musk.
Independently by them.
Stephen, Rogan and Musk 2 years ago, at the beginning of your UFO flap, the May 17th hearing, in that time frame,
right.
Rogan interviewed Musk, you know, our erstwhile new president, and they discussed me with the book cover for several minutes on Rogan's show.
Yeah.
So if they're all plugged in to the big picture. But it's like, who wants to go first?
Rogan's into the issue, and there's no question, and it came up. I thought it was Trump brought it up on his own. I had been told by a third party, no, it was arranged in advance, but it doesn't really – if it's arranged in advance, it's even better. It means that Rogan is more than just into this. He's trying to arrange for it to be part of his interview. So he is going to support this going forward. He's going to bring some other people. Hell, I did one of his shows years ago on the subject. He's had other people on, but I've not been on since he got the – $1 billion contract, but still. So the situation is ripe when Trump takes the White House. And so I'm thinking that one, they're going to have a hearing, and two, and because Trump is already on record on this, but more importantly, several people in his near group have brought it up as well. It's fully in play in that White House. And I think they know now it's a winner. This is not a loser for them. They go there, they get all kinds of praise. So I think it's going to break. And I think it'll go one of two ways. Either Trump, because he's Trump, will simply call up his sec desk and say, hey, what's the deal on this NHI? And the sec desk is going to say, I'll get back to you in the afternoon. He calls back. Yeah, there's really NHI up there. And he's just going to call a press conference and say it. And that will be disclosure. And then we'll have the hearings. Oh, we'll have the hearings right away. The only difference between that and the way things were going, which was, I guess you could say, the standard model, maybe the most responsible model, which is have these powerful hearings until it's clear what it is and the president comes forward, confirms it, and immediately all the other heads of state join in. The only difference is if Trump comes at you laterally, many of the other heads of state are going to hold off. They're not going to jump right in and go, oh, yeah, that is true. They'll wait for the hearings to take place afterwards, and then they'll come on board. Otherwise, the outcome is the same. So my prediction now is we're going to have disclosure in the first 60 days of the Trump administration. Trump is going to be the disclosure president, and that's going to be, we're going to be in a post-disclosure world, and that the ETs are making sure that happens by literally swarming. And the reason that they're over these sensitive facilities is that they're flying over Yosemite National Park. Who gives a damn? But when you're flying over a base, you have to give a damn. You have to respond. And so they know that. And so they're forcing us to respond. And the only response, the only thing they can come up with is let's send a bunch of drones and just try to make it a drone thing, and maybe the people will give us a pass. It's not working.
Okay, another political question. Why are the Democrats, why is President Biden, who for the next 30 days is still president of the United States, if he knows fully what's going on, if he's been fully briefed, if this is part of a legacy which goes back decades, part of, you know, ultra top secret National Security Council information going all the way back to Truman, why is he allowing Trump to take the upper hand? Why is he not, as president, doing a national address and taking the high road for the Democratic Party, if not his own administration and his place in history?
Well, first of all, I have stated that I think I believe every president knows there's an ET presence. That doesn't mean they've been fully briefed. I do not know that he has been fully briefed. So there's that, okay? And there is just say it is a bad look. It will look desperate. It will look like he's trying to grab it away.
What?
Take the legacy.
He's the president.
Yeah.
He's the guy in the chair. Trump has just been elected. He doesn't, you know, attain power until the 20th. Why would it look desperate? The drone phenomenon has given him the perfect background, which is, now's the time to tell you what we figured out.
Well, that may sound good, Dick, but he'll be savaged for it. The guy pardoned his own son. He's being brutalized over that. If he makes a move like that, sort of a grandstanding move to try to put this out, there's no hearings that have happened, he'll be torched. And by that, I mean the Democrats are going to get torched, which means the Democrats are going to be pissed as hell. And so, no.
You would cede your place as the party which disclosed and therefore owns the subject to Trump?
It won't be the party that
disclosed. It'll be
the president.
Well, of course it's the party. He's a Democrat. You know, the Democrats themselves are looking weak on national security. That's why Republicans always win that contest. I don't understand the logic if disclosure is inevitable.
It will look as if it is an absolute personal grandstand move, and it will not go over well. It will be disclosure. There's no question, but it won't really help. It'll make the Democrats will get savaged over it, and it won't look good, because the first thing that comes up is, well, why didn't you tell us this a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, right? Why are you telling us just before you're going out the door after you pardoned your son? And the other president is going to come in, right? Why are you doing that? And it's awful. Plus, he's in worse shape than ever.
If Trump was a legitimate outsider, but he already had 4 years. He already had our briefing video. He already took all those super classified documents to Mar-a-Lago and poured through them. in anticipation of this. So why won't Trump suffer the same thing? Why did you wait to tell us in your second term as opposed to your first?
I have no idea whether any of the documents he had in Mar-a-Lago had anything to do with this issue. I know that certainly he had 4 years. I also know that the pandemic came in, literally. I mean, also affected his administration. But more importantly, the Department of Defense was not going to help Donald Trump. I'm making a nonpartisan statement here. Department of Defense wanted nothing to do with him, and they were batting down the hatches. And so he was less likely to get cooperation from the DOD than Bill Clinton was. And so it doesn't shock me at all that nothing happened there. Now, understand that he comes in, takes office January 20th of 2021. And the first, let me see if I got this right. I'm sorry. He leaves office on January 20th of 2021. All right. The Grush hearing isn't until for 2 years later. We had made a lot of progress, but most of the heavy duty progress has happened since he left office. And so the situation was far more ripe under Biden, and Biden didn't do anything. He never stepped into it. Now, I understood that. I understood that, like, the president needs to stay out of this and let the process go on, let the hearings happen. But they didn't have the hearings. And part of the reason, I think, is that Joe Biden, God bless him, mental situation was worse than we knew. And the Wall Street Journal just did an article on that. And I think the actual truth is that he was really in bad shape. And that's life. That's the way it is. So I'm simply saying that you've heard the proposal that in
the last 30 days, Biden is going to resign the presidency and Kamala Harris becomes president. If that were to happen,
this is out there.
Given that she is much sharper technically, do you think that she would take the reins as the new president who just got read in on stuff the vice president was kept out of?
All I can say is unless he completely collapses and is taken out on a gurney, he's not going to be resigning the president for Kamala Harris. These kinds of almost desperate type of maneuvers will have repercussions for the overall party, and so I don't think so. I want disclosure as bad as anybody, and we are very close. And right now, our best play is to make it as easy for the Republicans to get this done as possible. And to some degree, they have earned it, because there is no denying that these very conservative House members grabbed this issue fearlessly and have just gone at it and generated an enormous amount of interest and awareness on this issue and put the rest of the Congress in a pretty difficult spot. They have no choice but to follow them. So based upon the actions of the House Subcommittee Oversight Subcommittee, Republicans have earned this. Now, the Democrat-run Senate Intel Committee did a lot. They didn't do enough, right? They moved the legislation. I think history will say that the Senate generated the legislation, which they did. Really, there's been a couple of things that were submitted in the House, nothing major. There's something in there right now about witnesses. So they did the legislation. They even tried to put in a major bill, the ultimate bill, but it got pushed back on. But then the House is the one that pretty much closed the deal. And so let's hope I'm right. We could have disclosure by the end of March. I'm happy. I love it.
By the end of March, the government is going to close down again. So. See, there's all this other stuff that gets in the way. You know,
there's always stuff getting in the way.
All right, let me go to a sensitive subject. Last Sunday, you were supposed to be on briefly, and you stiffed us because you got a phone call from Capitol Hill. Can you tell us anything about that?
Not exactly. I can't. I got things going on the West Coast, and so I can get calls really late. And I got something in the West Coast. It was like 11:30, and I just I tell you, I'm not sleeping well. I'm not in top shape. I get totally distracted by it, and I ended up screwing up. Not showing up.
No, I'm not complaining because obviously it was an important call. But
it wasn't huge. I can't get into the details. It's not that important. But that's kind of what happened. As soon as the new Congress comes into play, I canceled my travel. I was going to be traveling, but I canceled my travel. I'm not going anywhere until February 7th. I'm going to get back up on the Hill and start working the Oversight Committee and the Senate Intel Committee. I'd like to get a meeting with I forgot to mention. This is important. I forgot about that at the hearing. So, again, just to give you an idea that we're making progress for those that are still discouraged. So Gillibrand interviews Kozlowski in that public hearing.
Right,
so
right.
It was basic. Nothing huge about it. It wasn't much. People complain, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he say that? However, they don't have the background to appreciate it. He did exactly what you expect. He mentioned that they're doing investigations, they're checking stuff out. He mentioned two well-known sightings, including the GoFast, that they looked at very scientifically, and he even had charts and graphs and whatever the hell. We're looking at those. And he says, no, this was not an HI, and it did not go into the water, whatever. I'm going, it could be true. I wasn't overwhelmed by it. But then... And he didn't have to do this. He said, but there were some things we could not explain. And he mentions this one sighting that they had been looking at. And it's like off the charts, right? And so that was his way of saying, yeah, there's some stuff that we cannot possibly explain because it's certainly ET. And that was cool. But most people didn't pick up on it. All right. So it wasn't a big deal. However, she mentioned, I believe, if she didn't mention, it was mentioned, that she met with him ahead of time in her office. Probably both she and Ernst met with him in a skiff prior to that open hearing.
Okay.
Now, that is big. What does that mean? It means that they're in a skiff with him. They can ask him any question they want, and he can give them any answers he wants. That's when they could ask the tough questions, and he could give the tough answers about where things are going, what's going on. Because the whole thing with Arrow was complicated. Kirkpatrick stuck it out, but it was an awful situation. He got really mad. He quit. Then they forced him, I think, basically said, you got to sign this Arrow study. Total fiasco. But what the hell? They gave it a shot. And then hopefully he has a job and he's paying the rent. But now the new director is critical. We can't have a repeat of that. So they brought in somebody sharp, right? They interviewed him in a skiff. And boy, would I have loved to have been in that skiff, because I'm sure they talked about the future of Arrow and maybe a lot of other things, because they all know where this is going. Every single member of the Intel Committee knows exactly where this is going. It's going toward disclosure, of course. It's just
Let me ask you to do something that's probably impossible. I want you to think I want you to think like an ET. And we'll assume we're dealing with only one group, which is probably in error, but there has to be some kind of confederation. Otherwise there'd be wars up there and we're not seeing any. So there has to be communication. We've been at this in terms of public response to UFOs since at least 1947. And there's some evidence that even in the modern era, it goes maybe a decade or two beyond that, but none of the, level that we've now experienced since 1947. If you're the ETs and you've been doing this, appearing, being explained away, appearing again, being explained away, appearing, explanations go nowhere, and now you're doing this current huge flap, why, quoting Einstein, do you think that doing the same thing over and over again is going to give you a different result? In other words, I'm asking you to conceive of the impossible. If this current flap, after 6 weeks, well, you say it started 2 years ago, but intensively for the general public, it's only been like a month or two, but it's been relentless. There are 5,000 calls from citizens that previously you had one or two. So the step function is orders of magnitude bigger. The public response is much bigger than in any recent period of time. How long do you, playing ET, let this go on before you raise the level to the next stage? In other words, my model would say there has to be a next stage, and until that happens, nothing is going to change politically on the ground.
Well, I disagree. A lot has changed on the ground based upon what's been happening. But it's a good point, I've addressed this many times. Here is the scenario that I – oh, by the way, let me just finish on the Gillibrand thing. After the hearing, Gillibrand hung around. She didn't just walk away. So Ron James and I went down there and actually talked to her. She had two staffers with him plus security. And I had a chance to ask her. I said, the nuclear weapons shutdown witnesses really want to testify. And Bob Salas would love to talk to you. Would you be willing to talk to Bob Salas? He said yes. And so then I got the names of the two chief guys, and I got them the affidavits and the witness statement. And so technically, there's a setup there for Bob to eventually come in and interview with Gillibrand. So this is just me. I'm not the only one up on the Hill. So it's going in the right direction. It's never going fast enough. Now, to answer your question, here is the overall scenario as I see it, without hitting too many points, is that we drop the bombs in Japan. The ETs notice this, and suddenly they're out there, Annie. They're present. They're starting to turn up everywhere. All right. We actually get a crash vehicle in July of 1947. We actually put out a press release. So now we have acknowledged that we have this craft. We have the bodies. They know that. All right. Well, I guess something's going to happen. Well, what happens is they decided, well, let's don't tell anybody about it. And so for the
our side says don't tell anybody.
Our guys, No, they're going to keep it under wraps. That was a decision to be made. That's, the reasons are not important at this point. And 5 years go by, and we haven't done it. And so what happens 5 years, almost 5 years to the week after Roswell, virtually to the week, does this over the Capitol itself. They fly all over the Capitol for like 8 days. Big deal, huge deal, all right? And so there's not a lot of cameras back then. There's no known photograph that's available right now. I think they're available in the archive somewhere, but nobody's gotten it. But there's renditions of it that are quite valid. And that was the big deal. It's 1952. What did we do about it? Well, we called together the Robertson panel. We came together. They met in secret and decided, look, this is not a threat, but the public's interest is a threat. Let's embargo the hell out of it. That's what they did. And so that was 1953. What happened then? 9 years go by. Nothing happening. They're watching all this.
Okay, we are at the Stephen.
Let me finish.
We're at the bottom of the hour. You know, it's.
Oh shit.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I can run over. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. I'll give you a perfect way to stop. 9 years go by. What happens? Cuban Missile Crisis. After the break, we'll pick up on that. I'm trying to give you the explanation, the overall explanation.
Perfect.
Cuban Missile Crisis, and we'll talk about that stuff.
So are we at an impasse? We've had this phenomenology going on, strange things appearing in our skies for 78 years, almost 80 years, 79 years, 47 to now. But what's really changed? Do we know ETs are out there? No. Do we know that they walk among us, except maybe Elon Musk, who said the other day that there are ETs on Earth? No. I think we're missing some big pieces here, and in the next hour I want to get into the bigger pieces, including the role of Elon Musk, because whatever it is, he's not just the richest guy on the planet. There's something else there. You're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. We shall return.
The other side of midnight.com.
listen to Richard C. Hoagland and his fascinating guests. Support the broadcast and don't miss another groundbreaking conversation. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive member benefits. Listen to past episodes anytime on any device. Search the archives of over 180 episodes. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Talk radio at the cutting edge of science and thought. The other side of midnight.com.
And welcome back, folks. 1/2 hour to go till the other side of midnight here in the land of enchantment. My guest this morning is Stephen Bassett, and we're kind of going through the turgid political reactions. Again, I'm super glad that he's seen Mace or Gillibrand or Burchett in media, because I've seen none of them saying anything. And it really bothers me, because it's almost like they don't want to connect publicly the phenomena which is going on overhead right now with their own committee hearings or briefings or, you know, in the last couple, 3 months. And that makes me wonder, and you can speculate as freely as I can, do they know something that we don't know? Is there silence because they know that something is coming and their mission is not to upset the apple cart? Stephen?
They want to cards. When Nancy Mace held that November 13th hearing, okay?
Yes.
I mean, she had just finished an election that it cost $30 million. It cost $30 million for her to win that seat. So it's like they got a lot to do. They got to raise massive amounts of money. They got to run for office. And so what they're doing on this issue is so above and beyond what others have done that I'm reluctant to start poking them with sharp sticks and say, do more. They're doing pretty well. All right. But let me get back to the scenario that accounts for what you were trying to get at earlier. So in October 62 of the Cuban Missile Crisis, this was easily the most watched event in human history to that point. I don't think it was surpassed until the moon landing in 69. And so everybody is watching this. Everybody's scared to death that it could trigger a nuclear war, and almost did. All right. And then we got through that. We didn't have a nuclear war. And then next year, Kennedy starts to apparently indicate internally that he's got some interest in maybe addressing this, along the lines of maybe addressing this issue and jointly with the Soviets. Could be a basis to find some common ground so we don't have any more of these kinds of events. Then he gets assassinated. Okay. So what happens? Just a few years later, out of nowhere, ETs start hovering their craft over our nuclear ICBM sites and turning the missiles off. You don't think that's not connected? So they watch. We nearly had a nuclear war. And so they up the ante and they start turning them off, not once, but several times. They also do it in the Soviet Union. We don't have firsthand witnesses to that, but the researchers have talked to people who confirm it. And I'm someone that believes it. I think if we dug deep enough, we could get it. And so multiple events where our nuclear missiles are shut down, everybody involved is under strict NDAs. All the security guys that were up top and saw the craft were all immediately reassigned to the four parts of the world, right? So they couldn't communicate. And then another from about 67, 68, about another 27 years go by before somebody decides to come forward. Everybody else remained silent. And it was Bob Salas that came forward in 1994 as the first person associated with that to actually come forward and say, look, our missiles were shut down. And the reason he did that was because he's a great guy and an honest man, and he was troubled by what had happened. But most importantly, he filed an FOIA. He filed an FOIA of the Air Force, and he was very clever. He was looking for information regarding things around that time frame. I forget how he phrased it, but he kept UFO completely out of it. And he got back some information under the FOIA that seemed to be alluding to those events. And he interpreted that as freeing himself up from the NDA, though he could not be certain. But that was enough.
Because if it was public domain, he could search it online. It was no longer a secret, right?
Yeah. So he felt, hey, my NDA is lifted, off he goes. He didn't know that for sure, but he took a chance. And that was 1994. And over the coming years, he gathered more witnesses together. He helped Hastings write the ultimate book, UFO and Nukes. They then did a documentary. They've held two press conferences. They testified at the sitting here in disclosure. For 30 years, these guys have been trying to testify before Congress because they're the most important witnesses living on this planet with respect to this issue. Because the shutting down of the nukes by the ETs was the single most significant thing we know about them. And you see the pattern here. We almost have a nuclear war. A few years later, they turn it down. This goes on for a number of years. They turn them off X numbers of times. You don't know how many. We figure after the first two or three, the government got pretty savvy on this and moved in fast and shut everything down. God knows how many times they did it. However, eventually they stop. Okay? They stop. And we continue on with the Cold War. And we end up within 20 years of those shutdowns, we had amassed globally a stockpile of 86,000 nuclear weapons. So we're really not getting the point, are we? We're just not getting the point, all right? And so you go forward in time some more, and ultimately, I say we're talking about the next opportunity was when the Cold War ended. All right, so they stopped shutting down the nukes. The Cold War ends. It's a huge opportunity for us to really get after it. 89, 90, 91 is when the Cold War is ending. And then from 93 to 96, a significant effort was made to try to get the truth out.
This is the Rockefeller.
And it was under the Clinton administration. And that was the Rockefeller Initiative. And there was an effort to do it. Whatever, but the circumstances were such that it didn't happen, right? And the ETs are watching that. Okay, great. And so they didn't get disclosure, right? He gets nailed by another scandal that really shuts him up. So he does his last 4 years, doesn't cause any trouble, and he leaves.
Well, wait. Do you remember his famous speech in Belfast?
Yeah. He referred to it in Belfast.
Yeah, well, I have new members of the audience. For people that don't know, the President Clinton, was in Belfast on kind of, I think it was the last trip of his administration, last international trip, and he suddenly whipped out a letter from an 11-year-old kid, and the kid's asking him a question about UFOs, and he makes the most interesting, circumloquacious response. Right, Steve?
That's right. Famous moment, gratuitous. So he knew. I mean, the whole Rockefeller Initiative was a much bigger deal than people think. It ended when he ran for Congress the second time, and any chance of him as a lame duck president revisiting that, it disappeared when the Lewinsky scandal broke. At that point, they literally had him. Okay, then it was up to Gore. Gore didn't win. Then it eventually got up to Hillary. And so from that point forward, from 93 on, there was something in play here that was carried forward by people like Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and so forth. It was in play, and it was advancing. And, of course, I was very much attached to that. I was very involved. I followed it very closely. And I'm sure the ETs did it well. And so essentially they're seeing some progress there. You know, look what's going on. John Podesta's doing this. Man. We got some movies coming out and all this shit. It was a very rich time in terms of this issue. And so the ETs are going, it's good. But then, all right, Clinton, Obama finally takes over. And there's a chance for it to happen again. He brings in a whole bunch of Clinton people who knew about it, including Hillary, but he doesn't do anything. Okay, fine. And then comes the Clinton election. That issue was all over that election, right? And I take a lot of credit for that. And she's talking about it. Vanessa's talking about it. Her husband's talking about it. It's in the news. Over 400 articles. Got them on my website. You'll read them all. 400 articles during that campaign referring to Clinton and the connection of Clinton or Podesta or husband to the issue. And she was supposed to win, but she didn't. And then somebody else comes in. Trump comes in, and the situation doesn't advance during that 4 years. And so I think and plus, what's happening now? Our politics is devolving. All right. The stability that we had post end of the Cold War, right? Berlin Wall falls. People are rejoicing. All kinds of republics have been freed up from the Soviet Union. They're happy. Everybody's having a good time. All right. It's all good. And then things start going to hell, right? Because we weren't fixing things. We weren't dealing with the issues. We were doing the same old crap. And so things start going bad. U.S. politics starts devolving, and the situation overseas starts to get really ugly. And before you know it, it gets really ugly. And so essentially, if you assume the ETs are watching all of this, going all the way back to near Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I could understand why, as we go into the, quote, next administration, as we go into these last couple of years, but certainly the last year, they're looking at the situation and say, guys, you're out of time. And if you're thinking that we're just going to step in, fix everything for you, turn off all the nukes so you'll be safe, right, give you some nice tech so you can get rid of all the nuclear waste and your garbage and stop the seas from overflowing, whatever the hell, I don't think that's on the agenda. I think it has something to do with the fact that you got to do it, but you do really know about us, right? We're part of your world. We're part of the equation, and you need to know about us. But our preference is that you confirm it to yourselves and not make us force that on you. And so they could put saucers over Washington, D.C. anytime they wanted to. I don't mean lights in the sky. I mean friggin' saucers, maybe 50. And then what's the government going to do? They're going to say, those are the most incredible weather balloons I've ever seen. Amazing.
Well, you're kind of nudging up against my model, which is if you keep doing the same old thing and expect a different result, you're nuts. You're insane.
But
so,
not the same old thing, Dick.
So,
this is the biggest clap ever.
Yeah, but big doesn't count if the government is relied upon to tell you the truth and they say nothing. And there's no way individual citizens can break this individually. The government can stonewall forever unless there's a step function change.
No, they've done it successfully for 80 years.
Stephen, I don't understand where your faith comes from. It's like a religious belief.
I'm the least religious person you know. The flap that is going on now is absolutely unprecedented. And it's happening in a time when there's hundreds of millions of cameras and the internet. So this is light years beyond anything that has ever happened on this
but
issue.
But they
going
all
back.
Look
I'm
like drones. There's
no,
not one high resolution like image. Well, look, I've got a footage running, a video loop showing astonishing things. And everybody's seeing this stuff.
They're recording it,
but it's not making a political difference. That's what I'm saying. It's all words, words, talk.
When the top people in the government and the spokesperson for the DOD have to walk out in front of a bunch of press and tell them that these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of UAPs they're seeing, some of which seem very drone-like, but most of them don't seem like drones at all. Flocks of giant lights flying in the sky in formation. Drones? Who's drones? Right? You think they bought those at Walmart? They're not drones. Now, to be fair, technically, if they don't have a pilot, they're drones. They could be a mile wide. So I'll even grant that maybe that ET can do this. They have non-piloted craft. I think the Tic Tacs are probably non-piloted. So technically, they're all drones. And so in that sense, it makes it easier to play the drone game. But it's not going to hold up, because if the drones aren't made by us, they've
I
got
want
a problem.
To know what
so
is the
walk
Steven,
out in
Steven,
front of the camera.
Steven, what is the break point? I don't see it.
The break point, let me put it, it's kind of a cumulative thing. The way it works is the media pounds, the articles get nastier, the questions get tougher. More people like Burchett go on television and say there's extraterrestrials here. Who knows? Could be John Warner tomorrow. I mean, Mark Warner. The number of people who could come forward and could anything, because the stigma's gone, and just stand in front of a camera with millions watching.
All right, let me propose. Let me, you know, we've had the Bassett model. Let me propose the Hoagland model, which is whoever's behind the phenomenon, the ETs. All right. If they have gone this far, mass sightings of drones all over the planet, clustering over bases, mm-hmm. over facilities, nukes, et cetera, and people are taking zillions of pictures with phones and putting them on the internet, and that hasn't mm-hmm. shaken the political structure. It simply says there's no threat.
It has shaken the structure.
How? I don't see it.
You the final
I don't. I saw Biden the other night interviewed in front of the White House. He said, we're looking into it. That's all he said and walked away.
Biden doesn't even count.
He's the president.
Biden doesn't matter more.
Okay, Biden doesn't matter anymore. Okay, we're on record there.
You
okay.
have the president-elect talking about the subject on a podcast that's going to be seen 100 million times. Okay. You've got the UAP caucus in Congress. You got people competing to have the next UAP here.
All right, let me go
and
back
we're just
to
getting warmed up.
Steven, we put the Bassett model for the last hour and a half to almost 2 hours. Let me give you a snippet of the Hoagland model, which is they're not going to keep doing the same thing. There's going to be a state change. Something new will be added. And let me give you a little backdrop. What this phenomenon has done, this weeks and weeks of drone incessant coverage and discussion and all the newspapers and the video and all that, has gotten all kinds of people who never go outside and look up to go outside and look up with cameras, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we've
sure.
got
absolutely
maybe 10, 100, 1,000 times more eyeballs looking up. If I was ET, I would then change the tempo of the orchestra. I would start mixing in real spacecraft, the drones.
Mm.
That would be my step function. And then those appear on network television. Those appear in social media. Those have to be addressed by Musk and Trump and Biden and Kirby. And that would be the only way I can see to force this to the next level. And the only question remaining is on what time frame? How much time do we have between now, solstice evening in 2024, and when this next part of the phenomenon unfolds with all these new eyeballs out there looking up with cameras?
Sure. Yeah. Can the ETs take it up a notch? Absolutely. Would they? Yeah, they could very well do that. What's their time frame? I don't know. But based on just what's been happening, I would assume, as I say, the next logical opening to wrap this up is early in the Trump administration. It doesn't happen, and they go off on some wild goose chases, and I think they got all kinds of goose chases there on their list. We may see the ETs take it up a notch. And to the extent that they do, it's going to create a significant degree of concern amongst people. People are a little nervous, right? They start seeing completely any major serious saucers literally hanging there, moving around over a base or something like that. People are going to get pretty upset. But it's okay. We'll be fine. We'll get over that. The ETs have an agenda. I do my best to try to assess it, but ultimately we really don't know what it is. But there's no question that they can intensify this anytime they want.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. In this whole panoply of what's been going on over the U.S., over the world, faces, cities,
uh-huh.
what's the one place where we have not seen drone sightings?
Almost nothing over Washington.
Exactly. Why? If you're trying to bring pressure to the military-industrial establishment of the most powerful nation on the planet, why has nobody appeared in mass drone sightings over the nation's capital like 1952?
Well, there's two things here. There have been some lights, okay?
Yeah, just one or two.
The capital. They've been picked up.
They've been totally debunked as reflections from lights on the Capitol grounds, reflections in the camera,
I'm talking about some other stuff. I know about that one. I'm talking about other lights. There's been several. One of the things here is the government's not going to send up their own drones over the Capitol. They can't do that. So we're not seeing any government drones, right? So there's just whatever the ETs want to send.
Why can't they do that? Isn't that part of the defense of the Capitol, the White House, the restricted airspace?
The drones are not up there for defense. The drones are up there to be a distraction, and you're flying drones over Washington, D.C., though. You really – I mean, in other words, they're just digging a deeper hole. They spent 77 years digging this friggin' hole, and now they got to get out of it. And so the one thing they don't want to do is dig it any deeper. Please, that they're sticking away from Washington right now, but they could bring it here anytime they want, and they know that too.
Yes.
And so if I were invited in to give advice to one of the esteemed members of Congress, and I'm a couple of degrees, a whole lot of money, and other credentials short of that invite, though I did almost have dinner with John Warner one night, is that I would say, look, you have nothing, you will only lose if you force them to take this up a couple of notches. The more aggressive they have to be, the worse it's going to be on the governments. So it only gets worse. It can't get better unless you've got some way to convince them to just head on home, leave us alone for a couple thousand years. The inevitable is coming. So you need to act now.
Stop. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think this is all inevitable? Mm-hmm. You and I both, for separate reasons, think this is a runway to disclosure, meaning everybody knows we have friends out there and enemies and aliens and family and all that. ET becomes a common consensus reality. Why do you think this is inevitable?
We're referring to is formal government confirmation, and it's inevitable common sense. One of the reasons it's inevitable is this: if the world was one giant dictatorship in which you step out of line, and we've read the novels, you step out of line and they just take you and kill you. It's written everything. I mean, you might be able to totally keep it under wraps. The Soviet Union and China has been more successful at pretty much keeping this under control because they're control states. We're not. We're a democracy. And so with all the quote rights we have a lot of rights and the freedom of the press, which is relatively still there. The idea that you can just lie on something of this magnitude and it's not going to break is absurd.
But they've been doing it successfully for 77 years, Stephen.
And that is a miracle. I mean, it is a miracle. It's about the guy that was given 5 years to live after a cancer diagnosis and he lives 60, but then he dies of cancer. It's inevitable. Right? It's just common sense. The only thing that could possibly prevent disclosure from happening is every friggin' single ET on this planet or in a base packed up and went home. Just said, screw you guys. You're a bunch of assholes. You're never going to change. We're just going home. You got so many better things to do. And nothing is going on. No sightings, no abductions, nothing. No cattle are being mutilated. No more crop circles. They're just gone. It's possible the government will just go, and go, okay, let's get back to business, raping and pillaging and screwing people over. Other than that, it's inevitable, Dick. And you know, there is no way that you can argue that in a sense to a conclusion. It is a simple assessment of the realities of our society, the power of the press, the ability of communication, the internet. You put it all together, and the idea that you can keep lying, even in The Wizard of Oz. You know, before The Wizard of Oz was over, the curtain was pulled down. and we saw the Wizard, right? Did anybody think that the Wizard was going to get away with that and the play would go on for 1,000 years? I don't think so. But, you know, I can't prove it did. I can't prove a negative, right? I cannot prove that negative. All I can say is I can pretty much make a hell of a case for the positive.
Well, I'm just curious why we both seem to have the same sense of time in this, but for totally different reasons. And I'm, you know, I've told this audience what mine are. And tomorrow night we're doing all 3 hours on more data on our model. But I want to hear it from you because you're closer to the ground in terms of how these people on Capitol Hill think and how they think goes the nation. Because unless you say government admittance is the threshold, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's going to force them to admit anything ever?
The accumulation of evidence for 77 years, the public awareness growing and growing and growing, the pressure, the questions, everything. And not to mention the fact that those members of Congress that have come forward to address the issue are getting nothing but great press and good and praise. This is no longer a negative, Dick. It's now a positive. All right? So what the people that are pushing back, by and large, are just two groups. The people on the side of disclosure, by and large, they have logistical issues and so forth. And there's just the usual mechanisms of government. This is a big deal. You see how hard it is just to pass a friggin' spending bill. But they've managed to pass the legislation. There's two groups that are pushing back. There is a number of people who have a legitimate, I guess you could say, an authentic view that ending the truth embargo is not in the best interest of the country. Some of them have evangelical views. It's connected to the religion, but most of them it's a matter of they think that it is such a major change that it could trigger a nuclear war. It's an unknown unknown. They don't know what to do, and they worry. So they don't want to take that chance. They are one group. And the second group that are pushing back is everybody that's got a financial stake in this, and that's mostly the defense contractors. They are very worried that disclosure, they'll lose control, which ultimately will affect their bottom line at some point. And that is why Schumer put eminent domain in that proposed UAP Disclosure Act. He wanted to smoke them out. He wanted to force their hand. He knows that the defense contractors have had a free ride. They're exempt from the FOIA. They're getting paid zillions of dollars by the government. They got all that cool science. And they've got visions of trillions of dollars, the bottom line.
Okay,
so smoked them out.
We're at the top of the hour. My guest this morning is Stephen Bassett, and we're thrashing out the politics of disclosure with an increasingly overt and high-level UAP event going on around the entire planet. And at the moment, the U.S. government is saying, nothing to worry about. Move along. Move along. Move along. You're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. We shall return.
TheOtherSideOfMidnight.com. Talk radio with pictures on demand. Liberate your hyperdimensional time scale and non-linearly access over 400 hours of conversation at the cutting edge of science and thought. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive content that fits your interests and time schedule. Filter episodes by guest or subject. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Talk radio with pictures on demand. TheOtherSideOfMidnight.com.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think.
I mean, you knew you weren't going to get away without hearing Karen Carpenter tonight, right? This is the best possible scenario.
Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft.
Okay, here's what I want to do now. Welcome back, everyone. I want to open the phone lines. We've got about an hour. I've been monopolizing Stephen with my questions. If you have any questions or you want him to expand on a particular point or, you know, address the why not Biden, why is it has to be Trump, that kind of thing, area code 917-889-8802. 917-889-8802.
We are your friends.
Yes, we are your friends. So give us a call. Talk to me, talk to Stephen. You can propose your own theory. If you've got drone video, if you've got video of UAP, UFOs, you know, you might send it to us. You might tell us you've got it. Area code 917-889-8802. Okay, Stephen, there was an event this week that was sponsored by Danny Sheehan and the Paradigm Research Institute with a whole bunch of luminous speakers, including you, and I saw some plaudits for your contribution to the conference. It was online. We will post it in your items, you know, as a link. What happened? Why was it important? And did anything significant transpire?
This was sponsored by New Paradigm Institute, which is the now leading activist think tank on this issue. It's an aircraft carrier. I'm a little tugboat. it's hooked up with one of the key people there that's working with Danny is Jim Garrison, who has a long career in activism going all the way back to the Gorbachev Foundation. He was involved with Gorbachev for years. And he's got something called Ubiquity University. So they do Zoom, and a bunch of people will say some things. It's essentially a reach out, you know, participation, getting the message out, and that's fine. This needs to happen, needs to go on. You know, they're doing petitions, and they've got a UFO disclosure section there. They've got much more resources than I, so they can put all these projects together. I am a nonprofit now, and I've got a full nonprofit module up on my website, GiveWP, so it's all professional. The site's been improved. I just need $1,300 a month, and I'm immutable. I'm immovable. I can't go anywhere. So I'm hoping to raise $1,300 a month through that portal. But if I get serious money in the $20,000, $25,000, a big donor, then there are several projects I can do, and one of them is the next conference. So I'm doing my thing, but New Paradigm Institute is very sizable. And I like the fact that there are these things happening and petitions and so forth. We are, you know, we're past the point of let's get enough citizen activism to force the action. We're way past that. The citizens have been expressing their view on this for decades. They've repeatedly answered to polls about this issue that show clearly that they believe it's real. A huge number believe it's ET, the government's lying, and so forth. They have supported conferences, thousands of books. The public is clearly, everybody, they know what the public's position on this. It's now in the hands of the government. The government has finally taken this on. And we know the people have made that happen. We know the time frame. And so the House is involved. The Senate's involved. The presidency is not, but I'm not surprised, because I knew when we got to the end game, the president needed to stay out, not step in. But it's gotten complicated.
Let me stop you there. Let's make a little detour.
Yeah.
Because you and I have diametrically opposed views on this. You are attached at the hip to the Senate media laying out witnesses and evidence model, and then the White House responds. And I think now...
Well, that's the way it should be.
Well, why should it be anyway?
That's the way it'll be, though.
It should be that the chief executive... May I please finish? Thank you. The chief executive of the country, in my model... should take the ball by the horns, whatever, and simply announce what everybody already knows and is all fussing around the edges with, because he is the chief executive of the country and he's the guy with the power. He commands the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, secret space program, whatever, and it's overwhelmingly obvious now. Otherwise, Sheehan wouldn't have called this conference, that there's something with the drone thing which is an order or two of magnitude larger, as you've said, than anything previous. What better time for the president to simply say, this is where we are, come down to the Pentagon, we're going to give you the briefing, Senate be damned, because they're not doing a thing.
Well, they are doing something, but I'm not saying that couldn't happen.
Okay.
And I've already told you that it might happen under Trump, but there is a reason why I didn't want it to happen that way and hoped it didn't happen that way. Because if the president unilaterally just comes forward, it's not just about confirming the presence of the ETs formally. It at the same exact time, it confirms the lie. It confirms the entire truth embargo. And that is not going to be fun.
Wait. If the president were to – hang on. I need to understand this. If the president were to announce, you say it would confirm 77 years of lying by the president, right?
Well, by default, it confirms that, yeah.
Then why would it be any different with the Senate? Why would it be any different with a Senate hearing? Because the same data is the same damn data. It's not the president who's creating the phenomenon. It's the phenomenon which is going to be reported by government documents, evidence, videos, film, and military witnesses. So it's still the government.
No, you're missing a major
point. What am I missing? Please tell me.
Here's how I describe it. Let's say it's not our president. Let's just say it's President Xi Jinping.
Whatever. Okay.
Okay. So on a given Monday, either our president, for whatever reason, just goes out and says there's extraterrestrials here, or Xi Jinping does it. Okay. And we haven't gone through all the preparation that we've been doing. The situation is the day after that announcement, all hell will break loose. The media will be on fire. Everybody will be wanting to know everything at once, but we will have no legislation, no arrow, no hearings, no involvement from the House and the Senate. It will be utter madness and chaos. It will be catastrophic. And so that can't happen. The responsible way is that you go through a process in which the Congress gets involved. There's hearings so people can get information ahead of this that kind of supports it. NASA gets involved so it can say, hey, you know, we're ready to go. And we have this substantive legislation. So the day after disclosure, we're all ready to go to deal with all of the infinite number of questions and issues that will immediately be in play the next day. The president walks out unilaterally and no. And so it would be grotesquely
irresponsible. I don't understand your position. I really don't. I'm grappling with it and I don't get it, because ultimately the data all goes back to the government. Whether the Senate parades out
data, witnesses
and photographs and videos, and then the president says lamely, yeah, we got all this stuff, or he takes the charge and announces on his schedule, this is the reality, this is why we couldn't tell you, this is why we can tell you now, And then everybody falls in line.
No, everybody, yeah. Again, the entire government is going to be impacted by this event. The DOD, the military intelligence comp, is going to be impacted by this event. It's going to have implications for huge numbers of people and institutions. It's the biggest paradigm shift in history. And the idea that just get a president to walk out and end it is not responsible. You need to have a lead up to this. You need to get things in order. You need to prepare the people. You need to prepare the Congress. You need to be ready to deal with all that follows. And one of the messages I've been saying in the nearly 2,000 interviews that I've given since 1996 is, guys, don't you know, unless King and Putin are on your payroll, they can do it at any time, in which case there you are.
All right, let me ask you this question. Now I want you to think not like an ET, but like Chinese. Why hasn't Ping or Putin done this?
The best answer I can give, and I've given it many times, is that, and these are two very different countries, one much more successful than the other, but one more nuclear powerful, is that these are essentially ideological control states. They are essentially autocracies, and very much is dependent upon their ability to control the worldview of the people, what they say, and what they do. It's not as extreme as some of the most extreme dictatorships, but it's still an authoritarian control.
See, I knew, Stephen, that I liked you. I knew I liked you for a reason, because you're absolutely right.
Okay.
The ET phenomenology as a ball of timey-wimey stuff completely upends all human of not only reality with a capital R, but their own governments, and they will lose control in their autocratic governments of their people, and that's what they can never countenance. So I don't think we have to worry about Putin or Xi Jinping, because they can never do it, because it's like signing their own death warrant. Which leaves us the United States.
I'm not saying lose control. I'm simply saying it will make it harder for them to keep things within the boundaries.
Wait a minute. In Russia / the Soviet Union, because of the Ukraine war, Putin is within a hair's breadth of losing control now. Look at the general they blew up the other day at an apartment house in downtown Moscow. He is literally riding an eggshell.
I don't think that's a comparison that's appropriate. We're talking about a simple basic piece of information that affects people's worldview at a very high level. And it's going to make it a little harder for them to maintain that focus on the party, the state, and the great leader. And they would prefer not to do that. Doesn't mean that they couldn't still keep things together. It's just not going to make it easier for them. But the point that I was trying to make to the Pentagon is that disclosure is inevitable. And at the point, and if they decide that that is the case, they may decide that whatever difficulty this might create for us in terms of the running the country, it is a better deal for us to grab that legacy and be the nation that discloses. And then we'll deal with the point
okay,
that the worldview changes later.
Here's another question which just occurred to me. We've had 77 mm-hmm. years here of nobody officially admitting anything. Same with all other governments, although they've been a little looser. There's no official pronouncement at any level that's at the executive level of any government, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. There's an old cliche about war that the enemy has a vote. If in place of enemy we say ETs, what happens when we disclose? What do they do? What have they been waiting for? And if it's in fact open admission that they exist, is the next step in their plan to land and walk among us and thereby take control? They don't have to fire a shot. Just their very existence and the fact that their technology is millions of light years ahead of us, mixing our metaphors madly, and they can turn off or turn on nukes and all that. We haven't seen one 10 millionth of what they could do given the physics that I know and have talked about for decades on this show. So if they're waiting,
hang on.
If the diplomatic trigger is that they are openly acknowledged, but we have no control over what happens ever after that, meaning we on Earth, governments on Earth, wouldn't that be a damn good reason never to admit they exist?
Well, first of all, we have no control now. All right. And so if we disclose, we don't have to. They're going to do what they're going to do.
But wouldn't the next step be to open relations to,
the reason to get disclosure is to find out what they're going to do next. And I believe.
Wait. You mean you do not have a good model for what happens after we say officially they're here?
Well, the model, what happens after that is up to the ETs. It is, they don't tell me what they're up to. I can project what I think they would do and what I think
they
would do.
Why are they here in the first place if they're not going to try to change something?
Again, when you say change something.
Yeah, we're headed for nuclear cataclysmic Armageddon on your model.
All right, yeah. There's no question that they are concerned about the fact that we have reached a point where we can do great destruction to our own people and, of course, our planet. They've made this evident to contactees. They've made it to school children. They've turned off our nukes. So it's clear they have a concern about that.
Didn't they mention some of these contactees that nuclear weapons exploded on Earth don't just stay on Earth? There are reverberations at higher levels in the cosmos that put their own safety in jeopardy? I believe I've read that.
I don't believe that.
I've read that.
I think that maybe some I know, Dick. I know that some contactees have said it, but I don't believe that is
Why?
What's happened.
Why don't you believe it?
Because there's no way our explosions of nuclear weapons is going to affect them at all.
You don't know that.
Other than, you know.
You don't know that, Stephen. You have no idea. Look, I have spent decades studying hyperdimensional physics. You have not. I can tell you categorically that statement is absolutely true. What happens here does not stay in Vegas. And a global thermonuclear exchange would be catastrophic at a hyperdimensional level, affecting other star systems perhaps as much as here, because it's not linear. It doesn't go through three space. It goes through a higher level medium, which is instantaneous and does not decrease with so-called distance. So yes, that part
Dick,
of the that part that of the claims.
I have read many contactee reports, but that is not particularly significant in there. I know this. Every second on the sun, there's the equivalent of untold hundreds of thousands of nuclear explosions. And so the idea that a couple on our planet is somehow going to disturb the outer realms when the star systems here are creating unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're not taking
sense,
Stephen, you're not taking into account the geometry. This is a physics
what
of geometry, right place, right time catastrophe. A star burning. Say again.
We're just a planet going around a star. We're not that far from the star.
Yeah, but have
and
you
so
ever
they,
heard
yeah,
of the concept?
The nuclear weapons.
Have you ever heard of the concept of trigger points? Like when diamond cutters cut diamonds, they have to cut them exactly correctly geometrically, or they wind up with a pile of, glass. So the idea that nuclear explosions on moving planets at certain configurations could have catastrophic effects because that energy is beamed through hyperspace in certain directions is not at all an anomalous idea. It needs to be checked up. And in fact, there is some classified data that I've, shall we say, had talked to with that indicates that this could be a major problem here on Earth, that at certain times you can't detonate a nuclear weapon because the physics will not allow it. And that's not part of the general conversation.
Can't speak to it. It's outside my strike zone.
Yes. Well, but there's a lot more in on heaven and earth ratio than is dreamed of in your philosophy. We both must admit that.
Yeah, but I can only deal with what I know and the philosophy that I have. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, why should anybody listen to me at all, right? I'm simply saying that the connection between ETs and nukes is extremely important. And there is a pattern there to their activity, not only in terms of shutting down nukes, but also the messages they give to contactees and school children, that seems to point to the fact that they're concerned that this is all going to go bad for us.
And for them.
Again, no, that I don't get. I mean, I've
what do you mean you don't get it?
I haven't gotten that.
If you're believing some things contactees say, what? Hang on. Stephen, stop, please. This is a conversation. I really am groping for answers that are, they never come. If you believe some contactee reports, why do you dismiss the ones that say that nuclear war here would be a bad hair day for them? Even if you don't know how.
I'm simply saying that I have not seen anything really, certainly, if I have, it didn't catch my, it just isn't there for me, Dick. If you think it's a big deal, great. I don't, and that's it. Let's move on.
It's part of the reporting from contactees, is it not? So how can we dismiss some?
If it is, look, the contactee reports were in the hundreds of thousands.
Right.
There are a huge range of, how would you say, outlier accounts that who knows, okay? So at some point you have to focus on the core.
Well,
stuff,
the reason it's
the
important,
common, yes.
I think sociologically the reason it's important is if ETs are here as a benign influence and they're basically going to go tisk tisk, they were such a promising species and they blew themselves away and not lift a finger. That's one model. If, in fact, we blowing ourselves away has catastrophic effects in their star system by whatever hyper-dimensional connections exist between stars, that's something totally different because it means they have a stake in our success in not killing ourselves. And I would much rather believe that they have self-interest in keeping us from being dumb and stupid than they're just here to observe.
That's fine. It's just not on my list, man. It's just not on my list.
Okay, we have
what
some,
is on my list?
All right.
What is?
Oh, right, go ahead. Then we have some. We have some calls.
Yeah. What is on my list is this, and this is kind of something that's not been properly considered. If in fact they had the ability and the intention to save us from our follies by actually, essentially neutralizing any nukes that were launched, any ICBM missiles, or immediately intervening if a tactical weapon was used, or whatever. If they had the ability to do that, and they intended to do it, there would be no need to constantly give messages to contactees and school children on these multiple events where they land near schoolyards and get out and start giving them these messages. There wouldn't be a need to give them these warning messages about terrible destruction ahead. Because it's not going to happen. They're going to prevent it.
Unless,
so
hang on. That's a really good point. Let me give you an answer. Unless there's a free will component. We have to be the ones to decide to save ourselves. They can only intervene by whatever laws there are out there. If all else fails, and our suicide is going to result in problems for them.
Again,
anyway, let us go to the phones. We only got about 5 minutes to the bottom of the hour, and what we'll do is we will keep this individual on the line if I can figure out how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, 727, you are on the air. Steve Bassett is awake.
Hi, this is Steve as well. I was thinking, could it be possible you were talking about how nuclear weapons would affect them? Could that be the reason that the Roswell crash occurred anyway, because they were going over those nuclear test sites, and maybe there's something residual hyperdimensionally that might have affected their navigation or whatever they use to travel?
If that question is to me, I have no idea. I doubt it. The Roswell event We know this. There were two crafts, and there was an absolute massive storm that night. I've actually been in one of those lightning storms in Roswell, and it was the worst I'd ever been in. I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely astounding. The two crafts that came down were not saucers. They were Chevron craft, semi-aerodynamic.
Okay.
And I've always assumed that they simply were not at the level of sophistication of the craft and the entities that became dominant throughout the rest of that period. And that is one of the reasons why you had that crash. So there is a lot of – we don't know for sure what created those events. So it's speculation, but I tend to go with the simplest explanation. There was a massive storm. If they had collided, it could be account for it. And so I go with that until I have something that's better, and I don't think we will ever know for sure.
There's another hypothesis that I've heard, and I haven't been able to track it down, that – we were testing high-powered radars post-World War II, and that in the New Mexico area, those radars somehow interfered with the flight craft propulsion system, navigation, whatever, and it was our radars that brought them down inadvertently.
Could have been a combination of radar, radar and the storms as well. But the most important thing is that these were not the level of sophistication that the other. And it's also the case that the Roswell beings, the ones they got, which were not robots because they stunk up the Roswell hospital like you wouldn't believe, were not the ones that have become common in the contactee literature that has come forward. There was another group probably left the scene shortly thereafter because it was game time and they weren't on the roster.
Okay, we are at the bottom of the hour. Stephen on the line, hold on. Stephen Bassett, you hold on. I think Keith has something to contribute when we get past this break at the bottom of the hour. My guest this morning is Stephen Bassett. We are trying here rather remarkably to take the next step and figure out what happens the day after disclosure. And we've got a technical glitch. That is always terrible when that happens. Sorry about that.
Midnight.com. Tune in to listen to Richard C. Hoagland and his fascinating guests. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive member benefits. Listen to past episodes anytime on any device. Search the archives of over 180 episodes. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Support the broadcast that provides you with the most interesting conversation available. Talk radio at the cutting edge of science and thought. The other side of midnight.com.
And welcome back, everyone. Last half hour to go here in the Land of Enchantment. It is now Saturday night, Sunday morning, December 22nd. 23rd, 24th, 25th, 3 days till Christmas. Wouldn't it be astonishing if the ETs actually gave us the most incredible celestial Christmas present imaginable? With all these new people and all those new cameras looking up, suddenly, not a lot, but maybe here, maybe there, maybe over Washington. Actual glistening spaceships show up in the sky. That would change the world. Okay, I believe, Keith, you had something you wanted to contribute?
Yeah, the whole thing about what brought down the Roswell craft was Colonel Philip Corso confirmed that it was a radar. We were playing with the frequencies and the, gain, and it brought it down. And then they started realizing they could use these things, try to use it as a weapon to take these craft down so they could get a hold of the technology. And we have a comment from a writer on the website, Judy, and she says, read drones. As of Thursday or Friday, Long Island has been given permission to shoot them out of the sky.
What?
I wonder what's so special about Long Island. Well, Judy, what's special about Long Island is Montauk. And if you don't know about the Montauk
project,
at
the very end of the island, out in the Hamptons, yes.
Yeah, but it's the Montauk project. Montauk was in entangled with the Philadelphia experiment and a craft that
so the story goes, yes.
Disappeared from the harbor and appeared in another location thousands of miles away when Nikola Tesla was trying to use electromagnetic energy to cloak ships from radar. And if you've ever seen the Montauk, Philadelphia experiment, the movie, that was supposed to be pretty close to what actually took place. And there was a time travel event where the guys from the past came into the future into 1989, I think it was, or 88. And they, the Montauk Project actually opened ripples in time. And they actually brought an entity or creature through using a psychic that was sitting in a chair that allowed them to manipulate space-time. They didn't know how it worked, but they did know that by changing the frequency of the radar, they could affect people's emotional and stability in the town, along with the animals that were around them, because as they changed the frequency, they could invoke different responses from the people and the animals in the area. So they've been playing with this stuff for quite a while. It's nothing new. It's just they are not going to get up off of this because we have the technology. Ben Rich told James Goodall. He also told a group of graduating students, he said, we've got stuff out in the desert that's 50 years ahead of what you can imagine. If you've seen it on Star Wars or Star Trek, we've been there, done that, found it wasn't practical. There was a flaw in the math, but we figured it out. We have the ability to travel amongst the stars. We could take E.T. home tomorrow, but these things are locked up in such black projects, it would take an act of God to get them released. So we have the technology. We know that our early years of radar disrupted their technology. They may have compensated for it by this time, but that was one of the things that threw a monkey wrench into why some of their craft were crashing back then. Even the atomic blast didn't affect the craft, but the atomic blasts were reaching into other dimensions, messing with entities that live in those dimensions. And we're not in our reality encompasses a whole bunch of different dimensions. We just aren't aware of it. So,
okay.
Anyway, that's my contribution.
Super. We've got another contributor, Robert Morningstar, our erstwhile colleague who's been missing for several weeks. Robert, welcome back.
Oh, I'm glad he's back.
Robert Morningstar, our erstwhile colleague.
Turn down your radio.
Robert, welcome back.
Hello,
Robert,
Richard.
Are you there? Yes, if you can
yes,
turn
I'm
down.
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent.
Yeah. First of all, happy solstice to everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone. I'm happy to be back on with you, Richard, and especially with Stephen there. Hi, Stephen. Great work
Hi.
You've been doing. I've been trying to keep you apprised of my contacts with Kristen Gillibrand and Schumer, and they're sending the information up the pipeline. As a matter of fact, on May 30th, I got an email from Joe Biden thanking me for having written to him about the wonders of outer space. And I said to myself, well, I never wrote to Joe, but I guess Schumer and Gillibrand, as my senators, sent the information I've given them up. I wanted to clarify a couple of things about the Roswell crash. I've been reading secret documents for a long time, and one of the most important ones is called Flying Saucers and National Security, Assessment of the Situation, 1948, the first report given to Vandenberg. It says there that Army radar, U.S. Army Air Force radars, had been picking up two or three UFOs in the days before the Roswell crash, and they had been monitoring their activities there near Los Alamos and the Trinity site. So they decided to bring to bear 8 radars on the next squadron of saucers. That happened July 3rd, and apparently the combination of the lightning storm and the convergence of 8 powerful radars turned on the craft that were there precipitated a loss of control. They crashed into each other. My scenario is that one was above the other, and they crashed. The top one into the bottom one. The one that was on the bottom splattered completely on Brazel's farm, and the other one skipped off, hit the ground, and landed over there in Corona. And that was the almost intact with one live alien. The other thing about Richard, your assessment, your theory is correct. The same document talks about the debriefing of the alien and what the alien said. And he said that they came here because one of our scientists had been experimenting with a new form of energy. And he had been broadcasting tremendously powerful beams of this new energy. And that those transmissions back in the 1920s and turn of the century were disrupting their gravity, affecting their weather and the electromagnetic fields around their planet. And so they sent a signal back asking the scientists to turn it off. But he didn't understand the signal, so they had to come personally. And they said that scientist was Nikola Tesla. And so in the same paper, the takeover of the control of science and education by the U.S. government was spoken.
Robert, hang on. Nikola Tesla was doing hyperdimensional physics experiments with incredible high voltage, incredible short shocks. He penetrated the ether. This is all documented in the book I'm going to read someday by Paul LaViolette, On the Air, with actual memos, with actual detailed experiments. So this is consistent with what I know from the other end.
Mm-hmm. All of this is true, yes. Yes. Let's not forget that Tesla's other invention was an earthquake machine. He attached some gadget to the girders of the Woolworth building when it was being built, and all of a sudden, half an hour, the whole thing started to rattle, and all the workmen, the iron workers, raced down. And then he just went away, but people reported him. And then he had the gadget again, and he operated it in his laboratory on people in Texas, pardon me. We call it Houston Street in New York. Houston Street. And so it started to rattle Chinatown. The cops, when the ceiling started, plaster started to fall, they said, this has got to be Tesla. So the story is they raced uptown to Houston Street for Texas and Houston Street for New Yorkers, and they crashed into Tesla's laboratory, and he was smashing the machine with an axe and saying he'd never, ever build it again. But he did claim that he had found a wave, a periodic wave, that circulation of the Earth about every hour and a half or some specific thing, like every hour and 23 minutes. And he said that if he could stomp his foot every time that wave came around and amplified it, eventually he could stomp his foot enough times to crack the Earth in two. But
Robert,
the important
Robert,
thing...
Robert, he was using resonant frequency.
It's all about resonant
frequency.
Yeah, Robert,
yes, resonance is cymatics. You know, cymatics is a very important word that ought to be employed more often, and people should
Robert,
study it.
We don't have a lot of time, so I want to ask you the same question I've been asking Stephen all night. Where do you think we are in this process? Do you see the drone phenomenon as a prelude to a next step? And what kind of time frame, if you think we're on the disclosure glide path, do you think we're on?
Well, it's all part of a multi-layered program. Peekaboo, what I call peekaboo disclosure, or a little striptease disclosure, a little here, a little there. I'd be happy to talk more about it tomorrow on the show for Christmas, but on this topic, they are using drones to veil real UFO activity. And that is the other thing
they,
is...
Wait. When you say they, who's the they?
They? The military-industrial complex, the deep state?
You need to identify where people don't follow this every day.
Yeah, sure. Well, that, you know, the they,
but
the
you're
government.
Saying
but,
that the drone activity is a false flag to cover real ET spacecraft in our skies.
Yes, because I have got real orbs. I call them orbs or white pearl UFOs. There's a certain kind of UFO that's been visiting me in New York since 2007. They've visited me and passed by and many times. But they're a presence, and they're the real UFO. And, Richard, I'm going to tell you tonight, I have deduced that these UFOs, the orb UFOs, come from the moon, and that... And that proof is that the Apollo astronauts photographed and filmed these things, stalking them, watching them, surveilling them. And I'm working on an article, my next article on Substack at robertmorningstar.substack.com. The Morningstar Report is going to have the best photograph of one of these orbs this morning in Princeton, New Jersey. A Princeton PhD took the picture, sent it to a friend. That friend is a contact of mine, sent it to me, and I am going to publish it. And it shows a pearl-white UFO flying over a beautiful snow-covered landscape. But that UFO is similar to the UFO that came and hovered over the runway at Manchester. This all started with the Manchester Airport incident, November 27th. A month ago, and that's where it's exploded.
Okay.
Since then.
Did you see the video taken by a local TV crew in New York from a helicopter of a blue orb literally racing down the Hudson right past the helicopter? Because I will put that up for tomorrow night.
I've seen that craft myself.
Hang on. Are you joining us tomorrow night?
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
For a Merry
Christmas
reunion.
Okay. So, Stephen, do you have anything you want to talk to Robert about or vice versa? We have a few minutes.
Well, I think Robert's on the mark there. The only thing they could do was to put up a bunch of our own drones to try to mask the situation as best they can. Imagine if they had not done that. Imagine if we were getting nothing but these kind of standard orb and other sightings over all these multiple military sensitive facilities, and nothing was happening. We weren't doing anything. How do you answer to that?
My question then is, Robert and Stephen, if we're putting up noise, meaning drones, to mask the real ET or spacecraft phenomenon, how does it help the establishment, the deep state, the feds, to take away all drone traffic from New Jersey, leaving only the naked orbs?
Well, that means that a certain faction in the military took over control from the ones who want to camouflage it to the ones who want to make it stand out in the open. So I think that until, I'll tell you, Richard, I've been working for many years as a consultant to a military people in the Pentagon who want disclosure. You see, the problem is that the CIA, through the National Security Act of 1947, usurped power, arrogated to itself unconstitutional powers, and have asserted that the national security threat, which only they know and only they can define, but it's enough to just say it, they have arrogated to themselves unconstitutional power and taken over the United States government. And that is what has to be taken care of. So what I wrote to Schumer and to Senator Gillibrand is that you, the Congress, legislated the national security state into existence, and you, the Congress and the Senate, have to legislate it out of existence. It is a program, and in the same way that a bad program on your computer has to be disinstalled or uninstalled, that's what we got to do. And the blueprint for that is already written. It was written in October of 1963 by President John F. Kennedy. He had already drawn up the paperwork to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces and cast it to the four winds. That's what has to be done. And that's the message that I sent through my senators, got to Joe Biden, and he thanked me. Dear Mr. Morningstar, thank you for writing to me about the wonders of outer space. Well, thank you, Joe Biden, for acknowledging that.
Well, here's an interesting factoid. Mm-hmm. President-elect Trump has appointed, is it Rafferty, the former acting DNI, Director of National Intelligence, to now be the head of CIA. So Trump will have his own guy in charge of the CIA, which is kind of striking at the heart of the problem. Right, Robert?
Absolutely. He's a very good man. I don't think his name's Rafferty, but he's a good man.
Well, he also has said on the record that the government knows a lot more about, this was after one of the hearings or a couple, than they are letting
right.
on.
Yes, yes. He's a very forthright man, and that's why I'm happy to see some of these people that are being appointed to cabinet positions, and especially the change in the FBI.
We don't have a lot of time, so let me truncate this. You're saying that the FAA's sudden banning of civilian and commercial drones, clearing the skies of anything but airline flights, military aircraft, and or orbs, spacecraft, etc., is
right.
a deliberate political act to produce a high signal in what is currently a high noise environment.
Yes, absolutely. Also, President Trump came out and said the government knows what's going on, and they're not telling the people. They seem to want to keep everyone in suspense. We want either transparency or shoot the drones down. And 2 days later, the drone activity is down, and I think people are really getting serious. There were many layers to this.
Robert.
One is defending, using drones to defend themselves.
Say again?
I said one of the layers of this whole drone drama is that the U.S. military has deployed on a wide area scale its own drone defense facility. And what they did is they closed down Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. He used the word sanitized. When I heard the air traffic controller at Wright-Patt clearing the last flight out, telling him, okay, when you depart Delta, we're going to sanitize Delta, that convinced me that this is an exercise, a drill, a level where they're using some drones to pretend to attack a base and they're using drones to defend the base and masking all of it while they install a national surveillance system like China. So this is a multi-level field test on all of those things, including masking the real UFOs and hiding their presence by, as I said to London Times interviewed me, I said, you know, in football we call it flooding the zone. He said, yes, I understand. Well, that's what they've been doing. They've been flooding the zone with with hundreds, if not thousands, of drones in order to hide the presence of the real UAPs.
Okay, so let me ask you the same question I asked Stephen. In any scientific model, the only thing you can do is predict and then see if the prediction is correct. What is your prediction based on your model of what's going to happen next and when?
My prediction is run along lines with Stephen's timeline. President Trump will take office. He will broach the subject again. Remember, it was President Trump and the U.S. Navy that released the Tic Tac videos and let Commander Fravor and Ryan Graves, a couple of pilots, testify. So they really divulged the presence of UFO reality without divulging the operators or the alien presence. So those are the next layers that have to be peeled back. In fact, that's the most difficult layer, because in the treaty that the U.S. signed, Eisenhower signed with the alien presence, as I like to call it, the first clause is neither one will reveal the presence of the other to the world. The aliens will not have anything to do with newspapers. This is really a funny clause. You know, the alien presence will not contact any news stations, cables, or reporters, and likewise, the United States government will not reveal their presence. So that's the bind. The U.S. government can't reveal the alien presence without breaking the treaty, and it may not be one of the benevolent races with whom we signed the treaty. And so they're more afraid of the aliens' reaction to breaking the treaty than they are of the American people, because they can
Robert, how is the stalemate broken?
I think it's broken when a person like Donald Trump, who's not beholden to the military-industrial complex and knows that it is a big part of the problem, is going to come in like gangbusters and try to do it. I just pray that he doesn't wind up like John F. Kennedy, as we see they've tried twice, and perhaps for the same reason. Perhaps for the same reason. So that's my story.
Okay, do you guys want to stay on the line while we answer this other call? Because we got a call from area code 760. Okay. 760, you are on the air.
Oh, hi, Richard. Believe it or not, I listened to the whole show. Hi, Steve.
Oh, Ron. This is Ron Gerbron, another one of our esteemed colleagues.
Yes, I was actually, I just called Keith a minute ago. I wanted to be plugged in for the after party, if there is one, because I've got something I've got to mention to Robert.
Okay.
I can't mention
it. Well, you're on the air, so you better say something now.
Well, I know I'm on the air, but I can't mention the specifics on the air. You'll learn in a few minutes.
Well, you listen to the whole show. What is your reaction? Which model are you following?
I'm reading it on both sides as a bit of a caucus race. This is pure Lewis Carroll. Because we only have a certain amount of evidence, and I think that we are doing most of it. But I do not discount the idea that someone else with an outside interest is involved. And I didn't hear you mention the fellow that a few months ago, I know Robert knows his name, was talking about there was going to be something on December 3rd that was going to be a huge disclosure thing. And what's his name?
That's Cliff High.
Yeah, Cliff High, who was the computer algorithm
prognosticator.
Yes, right.
He said that, he said that 39 days after Rogan talked to Trump on the Rogan show, there would be a major ET event on November 3rd, which was the date. And the only thing that happened on November 3rd was the South Korean government went into martial law, collapse. The guy has now been impeached. That's the only thing that happened that was of world class on that date.
Yeah,
I associated UFOs too.
Say again?
I said I associated that event in calling the for martial law in Korea with the UFO issue, when it happened. Then they're saying
we have any evidence?
No, it was just you had a gut reaction to it. I did too, that it was part of it, like a global alert for these events.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know whether you gentlemen have been following our research, but a few weeks ago I published some images, video from the Israeli Defense Force showing the shootdowns of drones and rockets from Iran on the first night in April of this year when Iran tried to take out, you know, Israel in massive fusillade of bombardment, hundreds and hundreds of weapons. And the close-up video of one of those weapons being intercepted and destroyed is so non-conventional. It's so hyperdimensional. It's stunning, and I'll post it tomorrow night again so, Robert, we can look at it and talk about it together. But that, to me, is a dead giveaway that Israel has some kind of either secret physics it's now deploying, or it has friends in high places who have stepped in to prevent Iran from doing what it's now tried to do. Is it twice or three times?
Well, twice from Iran and once from
huge,
Lebanon.
And of course, the Israeli response has taken out all of Iran's air defenses, so they're sitting there kind of defenseless for the next phase of what's going on in the Middle East. But again, this technology should not exist on Earth, but it definitely is real. It definitely was videoed by the IDF, and they put out the video, so they obviously want someone to know.
Yeah. Well, Richard, tomorrow I'll bring some footage. These orbs, these orb UFOs, have been flying over Iraq and Iran for years, and they've been captured on Defense Intelligence Agency satellites and tracked. And I'll be putting that information out in my next article, and I'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Metallic spheres and on the ground, landing on the ground and parking, for example, right next to a car and next to a wall in Mosul. Then the thing took off, was heading south, and when you go south from Iraq, you're going to Iran.
Gentlemen, we have a countdown. We're on 90 seconds till the end of the show. I want to thank all my guests tonight, Stephen Bassett and Ron Gerbron, who peeked in there, Robert Morningstar, of course, and Stephen from Connecticut. Massachusetts, our caller tonight with an excellent question. Tomorrow night, we will take this up from another perspective when I bring the panel together, and you now know that Robert has some interesting tidbits to share with all of us. So we literally are at the bottom of the show. Again, I want to thank my guests. I want to thank you, the audience, for paying close attention. Go to my item number 5 and just watch all those videos back to back to back to back on a continuous loop, which Keith carefully arranged. Look at those and tell me those are terrestrial drones. So until tomorrow night, same time, same bat channel, remember, third star on the left, straight on till morning. Good night, everyone.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets.
hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.